You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Arts master versus superhuman killing machine. Meet the cop. That can't be stopped.
Not to worry, Casper. Through my studies, I've learned that music confuses zombies.
At this point, try anything.
Hit it!
Well,
you can rock and you can roll, you can really do so at the hop bop 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 boop. You can rock and you can roll, you can really do so at the hop bop bop bop.
Yeah.
Well, you can do the jelly. And you can do the twin.
Yeah.
And you can even do the huckleback, my mom, mom, mom.
You can do the huckleback,
mom, mom, mom.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
They killed the Giggler, man.
They killed the Giggler!
They had no business doing that. That wasn't smart.
No, not too smart.
If I have a swig of this?
Go right ahead.
What the hell is this stuff?
Gasoline.
Ah, yes! Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. Nowhere in Mulberry. How are you doing, everybody? Welcome! Yay! Yeah, good times! Hello, I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the Pop Culture District. Here we talk film, television, and pop culture. I have here with me Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
I'm great.
Doing fantastic?
Yes, sir.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Poison!
Did you love that?
I did. I was cracking up.
I put that in there just for Bill.
The Giggler.
No business. Poison!
There was a, I don't know, we were playing a game, Bill, maybe it was Left 4 Dead even, and I had that Belle Biv DeVoe song stuck in my head. I was like, hey, do you remember that song by Belle Biv DeVoe? Poison!
You know what, it's really Poison. Funny, last week, some guy was singing that, I'm going, I don't even know that song. No, Belle Biv DeVoe sang it, I'm like going... Dude, that was after my time. I didn't know any, you know. And
come on, it was everywhere. Don't you remember this?
No, listen. I don't.
That girl is poison.
Oh, this—that's the best part of that video, Bill, because it would do the dun 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 Bill dun 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 Biv dun 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 DeVoe. It was so lame, but it was like freeze frame. I was like, oh yeah.
I guess anything I didn't. I didn't listen to the radio back.
It wasn't even that. I mean, I didn't listen to Belle Biv DeVoe, but it was just there.
No,
you know?
I didn't listen to radio and watch TV.
Maybe. Oh, you're such an elitist.
No.
You had to have seen it on MTV or something.
Because the only time I watched
Friday night
TV
videos
was,
or something.
The only time I watched MTV was on Sunday nights for
well, let me ask you,
minutes.
Did you ever watch Soul Train just to see the hot cocoa on there? The hot chocolate?
Never.
Man, there was always some, like, bootylicious woman.
Chocolate mousse.
I swear.
Hell yeah.
I'd never heard that song until, like, last week that I remember. Totally blocked it out if I did hear it.
Come on, Steven. Poison.
I'm going out of my head.
That girl is poison.
Poison.
And then they would say that. Girl is dangerous or some shit like that.
You know my CD collection. Did I didn't listen to the radio.
But no, that's what I'm saying is I didn't own the CD, but I knew who they were.
No, I'm just saying, but you know I didn't listen to the radio.
Didn't they weren't they guest starring on 90210? Like there was an episode where Color Me Bad was on.
Oh, yeah.
That was so bad.
That was when Color Me Bad was really popular.
Ooh,
yeah, the guy with the Jufro and the guy with the meticulous... facial hair.
Yeah, because remember Jake, we said that Jake looked like one of the guys in Color Me Bad.
Yeah.
Wow, good times. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Sorry, we were just having a conversation separate from the show, maybe. But hopefully you're all Belle Biv DeVoe fans as big as Steven was. but Steven, you've discovered it now. Isn't it a great song? It's got a great beat, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, as much as I heard just then, as much as I heard on the radio the other day, as soon as it came on, I... Right off.
Steven,
they can harmonize wonderfully, or they did.
It's awesome.
It came on, and I started laughing. I was going, that's what he was talking about.
It's awesome, man.
I was like, okay, I've heard it. Change it.
Yeah, good times. So I hope everybody had a good week. We've got 24 we're talking about this week. And next week, Bill, BSG. I mean, BSG's on tonight, but we can't talk about it. We can't watch it during the show, but... Battlestar Galactica, Lost, Fringe. I mean, we got a lot of shit to talk about. Jeez. But, you know, now that I mentioned Fringe, on Sunday, you know, they had playoff football games, and on Fox they had the Giants versus the Eagles. And so I was watching that game Sunday morning, and all of a sudden I noticed the Observer from Fringe was on the sidelines. And the camera is kind of like on him for a second, and it pans over to the field. And they never, the people in the booth, nobody mentioned it. It was just kind of like if somebody would notice. And I thought it was awesome. I was like,
that's like I told you, Joe Buck had no idea what was going on.
I was like, Heather, Heather. And I rewound it, and I go, dude, that's the Observer, isn't it? She goes, yeah. And I was like, that is
awesome. He was right there. I mean, it was close
cool.
up. You could see his acne scars.
So basically, they flew the actor who plays the Observer to New York. And
maybe
just
he's
for
a
that.
Fan, or
I'm hoping that at the Super Bowl he's standing there too. I think that would be awesome. Just
that would be awesome.
I would think it'd be cool. The inauguration is next week. You see the pans, the crowd. You see the Observer.
Oh, he needs to be there.
Like Fox just needs to put him everywhere. That would be so cool. Just totally awesome. I was like, isn't that cool? To my wife, she's like, yeah. It's like, no,
she
it's awesome.
She doesn't get excited about the Observer, as
like,
you know.
Come on. Don't laugh at me, Chocolate Mousse. Come on. That guy drinks. Doesn't he drink loud?
You have to drink loud when you're drinking gasoline.
Ha, ha, ha. Gasoline. Ha, 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 ha. I love that. That's my favorite.
Gasoline.
That's my favorite part of that movie. But, you know, Bill, we don't talk about... We talk about cults a lot on the show from time to time. Usually,
yes.
Usually Scientology...
Been a while.
Or we talk. We used to have cult news, but I discovered this new religion thing on. You know, sometimes you see this cult stuff and it's like, this is pretty creepy, but it's not often that you watch something and you're like, you know, this kind of makes sense, or I could see how people would join this because it's already interesting me. So I wanted to play it. It's like a, what would you call it, Bill? An infomercial in a way.
Yeah, it's like those old Scientology commercials.
It makes me interested, and I think I want to investigate it further and better myself.
I know I am. It's the first that I've really become interested in.
I mean, forget everything else. I think this is it. It's called Tarvu
religion. Tarvuism.
Tarvuism. Let's check it out, yeah. Steven.
Is Torgo part
Everybody's
of
talking about it.
It's so totally overwhelming. I'm like so permanently overwhelmed.
Isn't it time you found out about it?
It is everything and it's nothing.
It's all encompassing and it's all non-encompassing.
It is and it isn't. Tarvuism is just great.
I'm a better person now. I was a horrible person before. I was a real shit.
6 months ago, I was in prison for arson, and then someone gave me a brochure. And now I'm a priest monkey at my local Tabernacle.
It was so easy to join.
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 It's like my spiritual intelligence has been magnified like a billion, million, thousand times.
When Tarvu speaks to me, I listen. I mean, how can you not listen?
I learned how to speak to an octopus.
I learned how to speak to an octopus.
I learned how to speak to an octopus.
Before, I would have been like, why would I want to even speak to an octopus?
Okay, sure, there's the whole octopus thing, but that's not even like 1% of a percent of a percent of Tarvuism.
When you read the Tarvanti, you're suddenly like, why haven't I read this before?
Tarvanti.
Why haven't I read the Tarvanti?
The first time I was given the Tarvanti, I read it in like 8 hours.
Prophecies of Amzam Mivaram, 2 days.
Prophecies, I could say in my hand.
Octopusology, I read in 8 hours.
Eight hours.
Octopusology, I read in 8 hours.
Amzam Mivaram.
It's so easy to join.
It's so easy to join. You just have to say Tarvu's prayer, and that's it. You're a Tarvuist.
There's religion, and there's Tarvuism. No contest.
So, are you ready to say hebo to Tarvuism?
Hebo.
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 Hebo. Hebo.
Hebo. Hebo.
Hebo.
You just have to say Tarvu's prayer, and that's it. You're a Tarvuist.
Tarvu, Tarvuti.
Abunu Aktuti.
Mimin Otibi Nuna. Midfiti Fiti Nuna.
Arvu Iminti Barvu. Tarvu.
Ah, yes. Sounds so peaceful, doesn't it?
I know I'll be a better person after it.
I like the guy was in prison for arson, but now he's a priest Monty at his local tabernacle.
I like the guy that used to be a real shit.
No, what that is if you go to tarvu.com, it's a religion, Tarvuism. So it's really cool. And how I found out about this is, how do you say the actor's name, Bill? I don't want to say his name wrong. Peter... Peter Serenowitz. He was
you know, the guy that was Darth Maul.
Yeah, the actor from Spaced, who did Spaced with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and all them. He was the God. I can't even remember his name on there. He was like, "You kicked me in the bollocks, Tim." He's the guy that stole Tim Bisley's girlfriend. Remember him? And he also did the voice to Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace. He's also in Shaun of the Dead. Plays.
No, that's gonna drive Dwayne. Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne Beasley. Wasn't that
Benzie?
Dwayne Benzie. Yeah, that's it. Dwayne Benzie. He goes, "You shot me in the bollocks, Tim." That was awesome. But, yeah, Tarvuism, he created his own religion. I saw this interview, and they said, you created your own religion? He goes, yes, I have. And it's very easy to join. He was like, really? Tell me about it. He goes, it's called Tarvuism. It's very easy to join. Check it out. I was like, what is he talking about? So I looked at it, and he has it trademarked. It's so easy to join. It's trademarked. I love that.
I was a real shit.
But I love that.
I'm a priest monkey at my uncle Jabernacle.
It just keeps getting more and more ridiculous as it goes on. I talked to an octopus.
Yeah, that cracked me up. The first time I saw that, I just bust out laughing. But
that person said, I read the Amzam Mizoram in 8 hours.
The Amzam Mizoram.
I read Octopusology. And it has different things, facts about Tarvuism, and one of them is... An octopus is a holy creature, and another one is.
But talking to an octopus isn't a percent of a percent of a percent.
What is that, Bill? It says something about everyone has a guardian invisible person that follows them around from Earth A or something like the planet A. It's like there's two different planets. They're from a different planet, and they're invisible, and they follow you everywhere, Steve, and they protect you. They're your guardian. Pretty awesome.
Say Hebo.
Hebo. Now, we got a voicemail here from Izzy. Let's check it out. Hey, you guys remember voicemails? Wow. Let's check it out.
Hey, Maldarians. This is Izzy. I just wanted to say welcome back. I'm so glad you guys are doing shows again. And I want to ask your advice on something. I never watched 24, not one episode ever. But I hear it's great, and I really like to start watching. But there's no way that I'm going to sit down and watch 6 or 7 seasons in a row or whatever they're up
to. Why not?
Do you think that it's possible to just start watching from the beginning of this season, or do I have to go back to the beginning? Discuss. Have a good week.
You don't really
discuss.
Discuss among yourselves. I would say this, Izzy. You won't get the gravitas of Jack Bauer's character.
Oh, please. This show is so ridiculous. You can watch it anytime.
I'd say you could start watching it this week and you'd have no problem.
Yeah.
It's really just it's an action show and it's silly. And Jack Bauer has been in so many situations that are...
You can catch up on your own time at any time.
I would say the first season...
You can watch
season,
the seasons out of order. It won't matter.
When the first season started...
Tarvuism makes more sense.
When I started watching the first season, it was fresh and original and really cool. They ran out of steam in the first season where they're like, how the hell are we going to keep doing this?
What are we going to do now?
It's like we're only on the 13th episode or whatever. But it's a fun show. Just start watching it. I think you'll get a kick out of it. And besides, you'll hear us talking about it. Maybe that'll be worth watching.
It's fun. It's mindless fun.
It really is. I love seeing Jack shoot guys, torture guys, get him in headlocks.
Yeah, it's really all about Jack Bauer being a total lunatic badass.
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, his country always screws him over. Come on.
But he always comes back in the end.
He always does what he has to do in order to get the bad guys, and that's what I love about him. God bless Jack Bauer.
And that's
saying.
Why we're afraid of him. It seems like everybody that he runs into this season is like, oh no, it's Jack Bauer. Watch out, he could go off at any second.
What I love is they have his, we're going to talk about 24 later, but he's on a televised, what do they call it? He's in front of the Supreme Court or the Senate or something where they're questioning him on his...
Yeah, the Senate committee. Yeah.
His crimes against humanity. So everyone knows, hey, it's the famous Jack Bauer, you know?
The guy that tortures dudes. I wonder if he'll talk about the one season where he literally took a lamp cord and shocked his ex-girlfriend's husband.
Yeah, he tortured him. And later, that guy took a bullet for Jack, so I guess he didn't hold a grudge against
him. Well, I think it was that, what do they call that, Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
He developed a special love for Jack.
I think
you can only shock somebody with a lamp cord so many times before they fall in love with you.
Oh, that's the official, what Tarvuism proclaims. It's to be nice. Be nice.
Yes, be nice.
All right, let's check out entertainment. What do you say?
All right. Gasoline.
Good old chocolate mousse. Now, Bill, My Bloody Valentine 3D came out today.
Nature Trail to Hell in 3D?
Yes. And I looked on...
That was a Weird Al song, sorry.
I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, I was going to look and see what Defiance, the new Ed Zwick movie, has gotten. It's like, I love the cast of that, but Ed Zwick's movies are so heavy-handed.
Yeah, man. He is a... I have it. I keep meaning to watch it, but I keep watching other things.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's
so
about...
I keep putting it off.
It's a great story, it sounds like, but Ed Zwick, he's just... If you watch Legends of the Fall, you'll see how it just like, come on! I've already, you know, like, I've talked about
what
it a million
is he, like
times.
A Jewish resistance group?
Yeah, it's a true story about the Nazi occupation, and they were taking all the Jews and rounding them up. These Jews went and they hid in the woods and they trained themselves and then they fought back. It sounds really badass. And
I'm sure Edward Zwick will make it really ridiculous.
Because, like, Legends of the Fall, I rant about this in the film score episode of our show. I just suddenly kind of start talking about that. But it's just how bad thing after bad thing after bad thing keeps happening, and it feels like the Swiss Family Robinson or something, like a bear's attacking, a cougar's attacking, oh no, pirates or whatever.
Mountain lions attacking Kim Bauer.
Yeah, just stuff like that. But the weird thing is My Bloody Valentine is like 70% positive, but only like 30 people you've never heard of.
You know what that means? If it gets any real... decent ratings, even if it ends up like 44%, next year we'll have like 5 3D horror movies.
Oh, I know. I don't want that. Maybe Rob Zombie's new Halloween will be 3D.
He's going to go back and reshoot the entire thing with those 3D cameras.
I have a vivid memory of when I was a kid of sneaking into Friday the 13th Part 3 3D. Sneaking into it, so guess what we didn't have? 3D glasses.
Yeah, so it was all like red and green the entire time.
It looked all shitty and stuff, and I was like, what I told myself is, it's less scary this way, because I can't tell what the hell's going on. Yeah. You know? But
guess what, you couldn't tell what was going on with the glasses.
Yeah, I looked like shit with the glasses. But since they have Blu-ray now, why don't they release all those? I'd love to see Space Hunter and the Forbidden Zone in 3D again, like with the glasses.
Come on. You're the only one.
Come on! I want to see that!
Well, if they release that then they need to release Megaforce on Blu-ray.
Hell yeah. I don't know if that was 3D, but they are...
No, it's not. I'm just saying that if they're going to release bad shit like that on Blu-ray, they need to release...
You know what?
Hal Needham bad shit on Blu-ray.
Release it in 3D. I mean, just go ahead.
You know what? That scene where he takes off on the motorcycle at the end?
Whoa, Barry Bostwick's flying in my living room.
I think I would run and hide.
That would be awesome. You know,
Barry Bostwick and his well-coiffed hair.
Like the last, what was it? All the Spy Kids movies. No, it was Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Yeah, Shark Boy and Lava Girl, yeah.
Robert Rodriguez has been trying to do 3D, and I heard that's no good. But this James Cameron keeps talking about the future of 3D. I want to see that version of 3D, and I guess we'll have to wait.
You can't
for
say
Avatar.
It's no good because he didn't make it for adults. He made it for kids.
Right, right.
And
but
I know my niece watched it, and she loved it.
The 3D
so,
is
I mean,
no
it,
good.
What I mean is it's a sucky old 3D. It's not like something that's
impressive.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not anything new and impressive is what
it's not that new real 3D with the glasses that look like sunglasses.
Now, you saw Beowulf in 3D. How did that look? Was that really cool? Or did you not see that?
Quite frankly, it gives me a headache. It gives me tired head, as we
right,
say.
Right, right.
It's just those glasses, something with the polarization of them.
Right.
I couldn't, I don't know what Jim Cameron's going to do. You know, I don't want to sit there for 2.5 hours with those things on my face.
By the way, about the Avatar thing, I've told you about this, how... Since nobody knows anything about the movie, any little picture that means nothing, they're like, picture taken from the set of Avatar, and it's like a friggin' stool on a set or something.
But you know what's funny is there was that one picture of him and the actor, Sam Worthington, and they're like, what is that gear behind him? Are they in a set? Are they in a studio? Are they... You know, somewhere shooting pickup footage. Like
this could be
analyzing this control board.
There's one of James Cameron's got his arms crossed and he's in front of some kind of like sleep chamber thing, and they're like,
could possibly be part of the Avatar set? What could this device do? What does it serve in the story? It's like it's some shit in the background they probably don't even spend 2 seconds on, you know? It's nothing. Just move on. And I was trying to remember, like, I guess there was a time where I was, like, really, like, so into shit. Like, I remember, like, after Aliens, you know, I was a James Cameron freak. And then when The Abyss was coming out, I bought the novelization. And they had a little,
really?
Like, they had a little blueprint of Deep Core, like, in the book. And I was like, oh,
they
man.
Memorized
oh,
how the
that's
layout.
Awesome. That's cool, like, underwater submarine thing or whatever. Then when you see the movie, it's not really like that. It's not about, it's not the Millennium Falcon. It's just the set where the movie takes place or whatever. But you kind of like, when you're real excited about something, you make it more than it is or whatever. And I think that's what people are doing here. It's just like going to be the holy grail of movies. I hope it is. That would be cool. But I can't get excited like that. Like, what is that sleep chamber thing? I wonder why it's there. I wonder, is there a character? Maybe somebody's still in there and stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's some kind of like...
Is the shooting so tiring that they need an oxygen chamber on?
It's just like, come on. But anyway, enough about Avatar. We'll talk about that when it's coming out.
Yeah, when it comes out, if it ever comes out.
When is it? 2010 or something?
It's certainly not 2009.
But one thing is this Watchmen thing... between Fox and what studio is making it again?
Warner Brothers, isn't
Fox
it?
And Warner Brothers, yeah. Fox was being a-holes, trying to say that they use the property when they own part of it or some crap like that. But I haven't really paid much attention to it because it just kind of annoyed me. You know?
Yeah, Fox just being Fox.
So they finally settled, basically. So we don't have to worry about that.
They gave them a cash settlement, and then they get a piece of the profit.
And I honestly never thought that the release date would change. I never was in fear of it. You kind of think, oh, it better not, but I never thought it really would.
What I don't understand is the release date, like March 9th. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it just seems like an odd release date for such a big movie. Well, and that's the thing. It's not a big movie to anybody but...
That's what I keep wondering. Like, Fox to do this, I really don't think the mass audiences, maybe they'll like the visuals. I find it hard to believe that they'll really be into it. Have they not read the graphic novel?
I think it's going to crash and burn, quite frankly.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean,
same here, but the story is just so dense. If they actually were able to turn it into a 2.5 hour movie.
Right.
And do a good job. I just... Everybody has always said it's unshootable, and everything I see I'm giddy about. But all we've really seen is snippets. We've never really seen any scenes of it.
Because, you know, it's a recreation of a graphic novel, but somebody going in there fresh might be like, this is stupid. What? Their costumes look ridiculous or something
like
that.
It's like a friend of mine saw The Spirit and hated it.
Well, I heard it was bad.
Well, The Spirit. I actually watched The Spirit, and it's not good.
It's tongue in cheek,
but I wouldn't call it terrible. It's very cheesy. But see, that's the thing. It's very tongue in cheek.
I'll definitely give it a chance. Definitely, you know, just based on Frank Miller.
Right. That's what I was like. I'll give it a chance.
Well, anybody that could write RoboCop 2, I'm giving a chance.
You know, honestly, the same thing. The same thing happened with 300. You know, it was based on a Frank Miller graphic novel, and a lot of people came out of the theater going, that's the worst movie I've ever seen. That is so, it's just ridiculous. It's stupid. And basically, you know, some people like it, some people don't. You know, what are you going to do? Just like some people like the Fast and the Furious movie, some people don't.
You know, I cannot recommend enough. If you have Xbox Live, I think they even have it online on iTunes. They've been releasing these Watchmen motion comics
every couple
months. And so far, I think there's 9 of them. And every time a new one comes out, I download it and watch it on my Xbox. And they do such an amazing job, you know, taking the graphic novel and turning it into these 20-30 minute episodes.
Right, it's actually
per chapter.
It's panels from the actual comic book, and they move stuff in the background. They make
They animate them. Sometimes they animate them. Sometimes they move them. The guy doing the voice work, this one single guy is tremendous. Really, really good. I can't recommend it enough. If you go on iTunes, look up Watchmen, maybe it'll bring up the motion comic. And I just
wish that it didn't cost Xbox points. I wish I could just watch it.
Yeah, but it's only 160 points. I'm willing to sacrifice that for 30 minutes.
But how many chapters is it, though? You know? I guess it's 12.
Just really good. The other night, I downloaded episode 9 and watched it, and it's the entire episode is the Lori and Dr. Manhattan on Mars.
Right.
And it's just like, it's so good, but that entire segment of them on Mars flashes back so many times to Dr. Manhattan and – or I'm sorry, not Dr. Manhattan, but Edward Blake, the comedian, and Laurie's mom, the Silk Spectre, and that whole thing. And it just – it's so hard to wonder how they're going to encompass all that in a film. As I watch it, I get concerned, but I can't wait.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, just looking through it, I'm like, how are they going to do this? But, hey, we'll just have to wait and see the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
But let's check out what's on our TiVo, guys.
Okay.
Awesome.
You know what? Before we do that,
sure.
Since we're doing entertainment, shouldn't we talk about Ricardo Montalban dying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I mean, I guess that's really it.
Mr. Rourke died.
Yeah. Khan and Mr. Rourke, and
you know, honestly, I grew up with him as Mr. Rourke before he was Khan. I mean, he was Khan on the original Star Trek, but I knew him as Mr. Rourke. And then when the Wrath,
yeah,
Khan
so did I. I was a little kid, but even then, I still watched Fantasy Island with my dad.
Botany Bay.
I was just obsessed with the tattoo. I thought he was like the coolest little thing ever.
For some reason, that night of Love Boat or in Fantasy Island, I don't remember which came first. I think Love Boat came on first.
It was Love Boat because Fantasy Island was a little more serious.
Yeah. I remember that one where the guy, I'm going to kill you, Mr. Rourke. That was like his fantasy. And he was like a big game hunter trying to kill Mr. Rourke.
Yeah.
I loved Fantasy Island.
Box sets.
I know. I want to see Fantasy Island and poor Tattoo. Love
Didn't they
it.
Try to remake Fantasy Island for a while?
Yeah. I think they did. I never gave it a chance. I was just like, meh.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was, Fantasy Island probably wasn't watchable, but since I was a kid, I was like, oh, this show's awesome. You know,
what I just I remember, like, I was Island. Like probably 3 or 4 whenever I saw it.
They had they always had the flavor of the week actor on there, you know.
Right.
Well, then that was like a kind of a double thing, because wasn't that the same thing with
Love Boat?
The Love Boat, they'd always have somebody.
Right, but
yeah, Charo would be on there.
But the thing about Ricardo Montalban, he was a great actor, that over the top actor, and he had a great voice, didn't he?
Oh yeah, awesome. I think still one of my favorite things ever is there was a radio host named Kid Chris, friend of Howard Stern's, who got a hold of George Takei's telephone number and called him up, pranked him as Ricardo Montalban.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the funniest things ever. I'm sure you could find it on YouTube if anybody's interested. Just put in, like, George Takei, Ricardo Montalban, or Kid Chris or something. But it's really hilarious.
You know, also, Patrick McGoohan died.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I completely forgot about this. See, so what is it with celebrity deaths? It's a cliche, but it's totally true.
Yeah, no.
It always happens in threes. There's always more than one that goes at a time.
Right, and Patrick McGoohan, you know, he did The Prisoner, but I always remember him from Braveheart, you know, most recently as the king in Braveheart. He was such a prick, you know, and he was great in that. Scotland, my land, you know. He was great.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He was Edward Longshanks. I forgot all about that.
Longshanks.
Yeah, so more deaths. Sorry about that to the people that complained in the chat room.
We're just going to start doing the death segment every week. What do you say?
The death
absolutely.
All right, let's talk about what's on our TiVos. All right, what's on our TiVos? And this week I saw Paul McCartney was on The View, and I knew we had to talk about this because Steven does an incredible Paul McCartney impression, right?
I do.
let's check this out and see what they talk about. And by the way, this is, remember we talked about last week how Barbara Walters, you know, it's just a stupid question to ask somebody like Tom Cruise, like, how did you feel when John Travolta's son died? You know, it's just like, oh, awful.
Oh, please don't tell me she asked that.
No, 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 she doesn't. But, Joey Behar asked a stupid question.
How do you feel when George Harrison died?
Why, frankly, Barbara, I don't know. Who?
And he actually pointed out to me that there was this war going on called Vietnam. And it, so I went to the studio that evening and said to the guys, hey, you know, Matt Bertrand, and he's really against this war. So I sort of explained to everyone the issue. Now, then, after that, John became the activist.
I see.
But that's all I said, was I actually introduced him to the issue.
You were the catalyst. But,
no. Yeah, the catalyst in some way, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, no, he went on to become the real activist, as you say, with Yoko. They did that bed in and
the
stuff.
The bed in, yeah.
Oh, Yoko.
Yeah.
Everyone's attention to it.
Well, I would think that when he was killed, that must have been scary for you. The whole thing must have been a terrible time for you.
Yeah, it was horrific.
Not really.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, no, not at all. Thanks, Joy, for bringing that up.
And then, as you say, it's going to scare, you know, just the personal security thing. And I think it wasn't just me. It was the
Stephen,
other guys.
You knew a better Paul McCartney than Paul McCartney does.
Yeah.
I think suddenly thought, whoa, wait a minute, we better get security.
That sounds about like mine.
They ask such fluff, such crap, and it's like he's not even engaged in the conversation.
I don't even understand why they bother to have a show, honestly.
I think it's just because, you know, Hausfrau Yentas have nothing better to do, so they turn it on at 11 o'clock while they're ironing or eating garbage or something.
I wince a lot and I have to look away. I can, you know, it's like I listen but I can't look at it because I'm embarrassed for whoever the guest
is. You know what's funny is Whoopi Goldberg does that through the entire show.
Where she winces?
She's always wincing or like just has this look on her face like, I can't believe they just asked that.
I get my paycheck on Friday. That's why she does it. But
yeah, honestly.
You know,
she can't do Jumpin' Jack Flash 2 or Burglar 2 or something.
I wish she would, though. Now, this week, the Golden Globes was this week. And, you know, the worst part of any of these shows is they do the red carpet part where they have Lisa Rinna or Joey Fatone talking to them.
Oh.
And they're always...
And you thought Joan Rivers and her daughter was bad. These two are
chuckleheads. And there was even a funny thing where I saw that Brad and Angelina ignored Ryan Seacrest. Like, they just kept walking. He was like, Brad, Angelina.
Good for them.
Brad, Angelina. Oh, okay, well, I'm just going to go over here. But the funniest thing that made me laugh was Dustin Hoffman couldn't hear shit. You know, he's an old man, and everyone's yelling and stuff. And what is this, Nancy O'Dell? Is that her name? I don't know. But
yeah.
She's trying to talk to him, and he seems really just kind of – I think he's having a stroke or something. Let's check it out.
Did you know, actually, that you have the most Golden Globe wins along with Jack Nicholson?
Say it again.
You have the most Golden Globe wins along with Jack Nicholson.
No, I didn't know that.
They're screaming behind us, though. You realize what a commotion you caused.
Are we on?
Thank you. I really care, Nancy. Take off your
talk. Practicing.
No, we're on live, Dustin. It's good to see you. Have a great time tonight, okay?
Thank you. I guess I should leave now, shouldn't I?
Well, you can stay with me and give me a hug as I tease the commercial break. There's lots more to come, including more kissing with Dustin.
Yeah, I love that he says, are we on now?
Are we on now?
Yes,
Or are we just practicing?
He's a little out of it. Now, this week, Kate Winslet was on Oprah. We don't have a lot of Oprah clips usually because...
Because she's annoying?
We got to save the best, you know, for...
You know what's funny, though? I know what you're going to play, and Oprah talks about this constantly. Like, I remember whenever she had Jonathan Demme on talking about that horrible Beloved movie she did, and she got into the same conversation with him about whenever she needed to go topless. And go ahead and play it, but, ugh.
Let's check it out.
I read the book, and my imagination, you went farther than my imagination. What was really shocking, one of the things I loved about the scene, obviously they're very sexually explicit, but I love the fact that you have real breasts.
Thank you so much.
I love that you have real breasts. I love that you have real breasts.
Thank you so much.
You got great breasts.
All the breast scenes, your breasts do what real breasts do.
I mean, that kind of thing.
Yes, they go flat.
Kind of thing.
No, but, you know,
when you...
And the moment when they race for sanctuary under your armpits when you lie on your back.
No, there's that wonderful thing, you know, if you're a woman, you're lying on your back, your breasts, they go to the state parts.
Race for sanctuary.
Yeah. But if you look at women with not real breasts, their breasts are sticking straight up. That's how you know.
Yes, indeed.
God bless your real breasts.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
No, Tarvu, bless your breast, I would say.
I wonder if she knows how to talk to an octopus.
I'm a priest Monty at my local Jabernacle.
A priest Monty.
The funny thing about that is she's talking about what real breasts do. The only people in the audience are women. They all have breasts. Yeah. They don't need to be explained this. Okay?
Yeah, well, all their breasts are hanging down to their...
Never mind. No, there was some embarrassing crap. American Idol was back this week, and of course... We talk about it every year.
I try every year to watch it, and every year I can't last more than 5 minutes.
They even had like a girl in a bikini try to audition or whatever, and that didn't even get my interest. It was like, whatever. But they had...
Yeah, she had nothing going on. She had a nice butt, but everything else was eh. Her face certainly wasn't gorgeous.
It was just like, and you know, the thing that makes me sick, because a lot of people, we're not watching it, Stephen, but everyone else is, because all you hear about is people talking about American Idol in the circles I hang in. I don't hang in any circles, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, you go to like TV Squad and stuff, they have the rundowns of all this crap. So people are talking about this bikini girl. Oh, did you see the hot bikini girl? And then they have a link. Here's the bikini girl's website or whatever. It's like, oh, great. This bimbo is getting famous for a week off of this stupid appearance or whatever.
So she had what, some sort of clothing line? She's got a clothing line.
Yeah, yeah. See, that, how sad is it that we've got to know that now because this bimbo did that. But this also, they had this guy and his two friends, girlfriends, in cheerleader outfits. Oh man, this is so bad. It's a train wreck.
Oh, that poor kid. I felt so bad for him.
I was surprised they let him in the door after his two friends pretty much ruined everything. Let's check it out. Oh god, I feel like
Why?
Randy.
Okay.
No.
Andrew, the awesome singer. Has a very awesome voice. Are you ready? Randy, Simon, Paula, and the new girl.
Nice beatboxing, yeah.
Oh, wow. He's like David Cook because he's from Missouri. Times about over, so he's at a hurry.
Jesus Christ.
The American
Andrew, we've established you're here with two fans.
That's true, yes.
Well, I'm not sure I've done you any favours at all at the moment, but...
It's my girl. I'm talking about my girl, Paula and Kara.
Oh, thank you.
Can I just say no to all three of you?
The cheerleaders are crying for
yeah,
you?
They are.
This is wild.
God. Oh, come on, guys.
Oh, I like this crying because he's rejected.
A plus for effort.
And thank you.
A plus.
Gasoline.
And the kid was just so awkwardly gay.
Yeah. He's like, he's not really sure he's gay yet or something, you know? And he's got his two girlfriends who hang around him because he's safe to be friends with. Yeah.
His fag hags.
Yeah. And you know what? His voice didn't sound bad. He probably would have done okay had they not ruined it for him. Don't you think?
Yeah, if he would have just came in and was like, hi, it's me, okay, I'll sing.
Right.
But, you know, his friends were probably like, this is such a great idea, you know, if we go in and we do our little bit and then you sing. And
you know what?
They'll probably be like, wow, that was terrific. Maybe they'll let us through, too. Who knows?
What if the three of us auditioned to Belle Biv DeVoe?
Poison!
Daystrom! Steven! Bill! Oh, that would be awesome! And we'd make fools out of ourselves, and we wouldn't make it on the show, but we'd be on that one episode.
We'd be on that one episode.
And it would link
yeah,
back
we'll
to
go
nowhere.
Down in infamy.
Hey, did you guys see those Belle Biv DeVoe losers? They have a website or something. They do a podcast. Hey, we get some listeners out of it, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we'd have to wear Mulberry t-shirts.
All right, let's talk about 24. 24 is back, and let's start it off with this clip right here. Let's start the whole thing off. The season is starting. Let's see what's going on here.
Agent Walker, right?
Yes.
I'm not active. The DOJ is about to
I haven't
stop.
Been
needs
exactly.
Need
I'm
not exactly. Need some Activia,
you
then.
With your situation.
I've
as
got
much
tired
as I
blood.
Understand how dire it is.
No.
I don't think you do.
It's very
dire.
One
of the men behind this threat is someone you know.
Oh. Not my father. That was last season.
Not my brother. He's dead.
Who is it? Who? Who?
My God, it's Captain Kangaroo. I thought he was dead.
It's a reanimated corpse.
Tony Almeida's dead.
Apparently not.
Soul Patch, Tony!
I was there when he died.
Wow, so Tony's not dead, and we already knew because they already showed
Who
it on the
Who brought in the drum set?
I know, boom, 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 wake up, viewer! It's like, you gotta wake the viewers up at home, but...
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is supposed to be serious, thanks!
You know, it was funny, I was watching this, and they steal a couple of things out of movies in this. The first part is they do the exact same escape that Jason Bourne does in the Bourne Ultimatum, where he's in a parking garage. He lays down, hits the accelerator with his hand, and it drives off, you know?
Yeah, but he didn't say, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
Gravitas.
But then because they've grounded all the airplanes, because these terrorists have a way of controlling flight towers, just like Die Hard
Using
2.
The CPI firewall router thing. Yeah,
apparently, the United States has one firewall.
Yes.
And these guys
and everything is behind it.
There's one part where the president goes, how long will it take to build a new firewall? And the guy goes, 6 days. And I'm like, 6 days?
They're like, get a new contractor.
One season is 24 hours. That's 6 days. That's 6 years from now before they'll have
I would love to talk to an actual security technology person that like works for McAfee or something and just talk about the absolute ridiculousness that they make up for this show.
That's the great part of 24. All the computer stuff is completely just fantasy.
Pulled out of their ass.
Yeah. Fantasy land. Even
they
when
don't
you
even try, because if they try, it'll confuse the viewer.
Well, Bill, have you noticed every computer monitor has so much shit going on? Like, it looks like the Matrix or shit going left and right.
Yeah.
And they're like sitting there typing
all
like they understand.
All my passwords are 1 gigabit encrypted.
Those operating systems have to be more RAM hungry than Vista.
No, nobody has a desktop with just icons on it. It's all like, it's just all this cryptic shit that doesn't do anything, but it's just like, oh, let me reroute that or whatever.
Yeah, reroute that subsystem.
Now, the best part, Janine Garofalo is in the FBI and she's like, they're Chloe, and then Chloe's hacking in. She's like, who is this hacker? He's really good.
Yeah, I don't know, but they're really good.
Shows Chloe on the other end. But
Janine Garofalo is terrible.
But
she bad.
I thought that the first 4 hours were a lot of fun. I especially liked when Jack had to basically, you know, he finds out Tony Almeida's a bad guy. He has to go catch Tony, and then he brings Tony back to the FBI. Then it turns out that Tony is actually he's deep, deep, deep undercover.
He's not even deep undercover. He's like self-imposed undercover.
Right.
They're not working for anybody.
That's why he's not working for anybody. It's just he's undercover because you can't trust anybody. Everyone, there's people in the FBI, in the government, in the president's aides. There's
president has AIDS?
No. The president's actual like
you stole my line,
AIDS.
Bill. Yeah, I knew it was coming.
They can't trust anybody. So it's Bill Buchanan, Chloe, and Tony Almeida are like their own little faction.
And you know what? They can operate this entire hacking thing with like 5 Apple computers.
I know. Chloe's got a laptop. And I love Jack's like, who are you guys working for? And they're like, nobody. And he's like, what? It's like, yeah, nobody. It's just us.
We're working for Secret Squirrel.
And I thought that was cool. There's no CTU. It's been disbanded and everything. So it's just them. I think
yeah,
the season's good. Because
Clarence Boniger is very unhappy with the...
Oh, I love that he was in this. It started out with Clarence Boniger in the Senate. But I think the season's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be fun. I mean, I'll just be shocked to know where they take it all.
Oh, I know. Like, there's this thing, because we've still got General Juma. From
Tony Todd is still there.
Tony Todd.
Oh, how the hell did that guy, what's his, DeMarco?
Yeah, how the hell did he survive
if anybody watched,
Bigby's bouncing Betty?
If anybody watched 24 Redemption, they showed that Robert Carlyle, unfortunately, his character stepped on a landmine, but he waited until DeMarco got close enough for him, and then he took his foot off to take him with the bad guy. It was a really good death. And then all of a sudden, this season comes on, and there's DeMarco. He's okay, or DeBaco, or whatever the hell his name
is. I think that was the biggest disappointment for me, that they carried over the Redemption storyline to this season, because Redemption was just so weak.
Damn it, Frank!
Well, I thought it was pretty serious, though, Bill.
We are talking about innocent children.
Exactly. The best
man
part,
that holds a lot of gravitas.
The best part of that whole 23 Redemption.
Yeah, you did not in the chat room. Killed a cockroach.
The best part about that whole thing, though, was Jack getting his ear like a burnt. Like the guy sticks a machete in a fire where it's red hot, and he sizzles his ear with it.
But his ear's perfectly fine now.
Oh. Yeah, he put some Neosporin on it.
No, yeah, I think he went to the doctors from Face Off and just had them put a new ear on or something. They grew a new ear in a petri dish for him.
I love that. You know, in fact, I hope that DeMarco brings that whole cockroach thing back. Jack Bauer, you are just nothing but a cockroach.
He goes to a daycare and recruits all the children there.
He goes to an American daycare and picks up the white daycare. Kids.
Gives them all machetes and gets them all. Kid a cockroach. Kid a cockroach.
Do you know how awesome that would be, dude? That would be
so
cool.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Kid a cockroach. Kid a cockroach. Kid a cockroach. Kid a cockroach. Kid a cockroach.
Awesome. So anyway, that was 24. I know we didn't go into detail. Another thing, 4 hours is too much for us to talk about on the show. A lot of shit happens. Okay.
I'm telling you what, though, I am really digging the hot, big-breasted, redhead FBI agent.
Oh, yeah, and she kicks ass, too. I love she.
Yeah, she's like a female Bauer.
There's a great part where she's talking about, Jack, we don't believe in torturing people in the FBI. And there's a part where she realizes, I'm going to have to torture this guy. So she's like,
she goes to the hospital and cut. By the way, that was also another hilariously ridiculous thing. The guy that she goes to interrogate in the hospital earlier in one of the episodes, gets like two slugs to the chest.
I swear he got shot like five times or something. It's like, and later on, he's in the hospital. He's in intensive care, and she sticks her gun on his gun wound. Like, tell me, where he is.
And then cuts off his oxygen. I was like, you're from the FBI. You can't do this.
That was the best part, Bill. She grabs his oxygen hoses. She goes, tell me where. And he goes, you won't do that. And she goes, oh. And he's like, and then his lawyers show up and they go, we need to know where our client is. She goes, oh, let me just look on my computer. Doo-doo-doo. Which, by the way, has a faster operating system than any computer in reality. Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
And
she's using Linux.
Oh, he's coding. Oh, my God. It's like, don't they have some kind of alarm system or something? But that was awesome.
Yeah, it's. I just love how ridiculous it is. I can watch it and just giggle and enjoy the hell out of it.
24 is so much fun. And you get to kill cockroaches. It's great.
Kill a cockroach! Kill a cockroach! Kill a cockroach!
Exactly.
Kill a cockroach!
See, Zell in the chat room thinks that the hot FBI agent and Jack are going to have a standoff. I think they're going to be like, I hate you, I love you, and then they're going to like screw halfway through the show, and then she's going to get killed at the end, like every other woman Jack gets involved with.
Unfortunately, Jack can't have friends because they all die. Even Tony Almeida, he was resurrected. Like he said,
Mark my words, he's dying this season, and he ain't coming back.
Well, that's the thing. They were like, how did you survive? He's like, I was injected with some experimental serum, and now I'm back. That's all explanation you're going to get.
It's made with kryptonite.
The writers, they don't know. I just wanted to come back to the show. All right.
Super serum. It was the super serum that Bruce Banner was working on.
You know what was funny, though? Because I really liked Tony Almeida's character for some reason. And when it turns out he's not really that bad a guy. He's just undercover or whatever. I was like, okay, that's awesome. And he goes, so you basically went undercover to catch these bad guys? He goes, no, Jack. I started out working for them because I was really pissed at the government. But then I realized as I was working for these bad guys and doing bad stuff that I was like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. So I like that he actually was a bad guy for a while and then realized, hey, this isn't right. They're doing the
same. He's like Darth Vader.
He was like, wait a second. These guys are doing the same thing that guy did in Die Hard 2, taking over the airport. My God.
Oh,
Oh, and that's the part I was going to talk about. The lady's on the airplane. The guy at FBI calls his wife, and she's
goes,
all the planes are circling. We're not landing. Can you tell me? I was like, this is a scene. Did they take the script page out of Die Hard 2?
Where's the reporter in the bathroom?
Yeah, where's William Atherton or whatever?
Yeah, it was William Atherton.
But anyway, let's take a break, Bill, and we'll come back and talk about Top Chef and Kitchen Nightmares and Friday Night Lights finale. It's gone forever. Let's be right back. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
This is very uncomfortable now.
In Japan, the hand can be used like a knife. But this method doesn't work with a tomato. That's why we use the Ginsu. It's a knife that no kitchen should be without. The Ginsu can cut a slice of bread so thin you can almost see through it. It cuts meat better than an electric knife and goes through frozen food as though it were melted butter. The Ginsu is so sharp it can cut through a tin can and still slice a tomato like this. It can chop wood and still remain razor sharp. What's more, it's a knife that will last forever. How much would you pay for a knife like this? Before you answer, listen. It even comes with a matching fork to make carving a pleasure. Wait, there's much, much more. We also want you to have this 6-in-1 kitchen tool. It peels and slivers carrots, peels potatoes, and slices paper-thin potato chips. This amazing little knife even grates carrots, grates cheese, and makes beautiful decorative vegetables. How much would you pay for all these items? Well, we'll even give you this set of 6 precision steak knives. The handles even match the Ginsu. And to make the offer completely irresistible, you'll get this unique spiral slicer. Down and down, around and around, and you'll have a beautiful garnish for your dinner table. Now how much would you pay? You get the Ginsu knife, the matching carving fork, the versatile 6-in-1 kitchen tool, a set of 6 steak knives, and the spiral slicer. You get them all, guaranteed in writing for 50 years, for only $9.95. It's the most incredible knife offer ever.
Anyone who ever goes fishing should own a pocket fisherman. Compact enough to fit inside glove compartments, lunch boxes, backpacks. It's rod, reel, line, bobber, and hook. With a Johnson reel and Twin Flex rod that reacts to the slightest nibble, yet strong enough to haul in the big ones. Opeel's pocket fisherman spin casting outfit, including bait, only $19.95. Now all you need is a place to fish.
Now available for a limited time only at Woolworth, Woolco, Times Square, Corvettes, Genovese Drug, Valley Fair, Model Shoppers World, and Two Guys.
Dirty rat. Strong enough to hold this van suspended in midair. Right, Ma? Dodge almost anything.
A plastic knob, a plastic plug, a rubber boot, a metal brooch, a fishing rod, a cycle grip, model planes and model trains, a doorknob screw, a flashlight case, the broken trim on any car.
And now Crazy Glue also comes in a no-drip, no-clog pen.
The country's gone crazy.
Crazy Glue in tube or pen.
Crazy Glue.
I'm not inconsiderate. I know my cigarette or cigar smoke irritates my family, and it smells bad, too. That's why I went out and bought Ronco's Portable Smokeless Ashtray. It filters out irritating smoke, allowing my family to breathe cleaner, fresher smelling air. Velcro fastener secures the portable smokeless ashtray to prevent it from moving. This Christmas, show you really care. Give smokeless ashtrays by Ronco. They make fabulous Christmas gifts.
Oh, no.
Mr. Microphone's really hot.
It's cold.
It's hot.
Love 30. And I love my Mr. Microphone.
Stay on me, government. No!
Another Mr. Microphone. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Hey, good looking. I'll be back. Pick you up later.
Bernice, what do you want for Christmas?
What else, Georgie? Mr. Microphone's by Ronco.
Introducing the Ronco Glass Froster. It frosts all kinds of glasses. Just press the lever and frost glasses for mixed drinks, for soft drinks, for wine glasses or dessert glasses. It's a must for parties, and for only $8.88, they really do make great Christmas gifts.
Available at these fine stores.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm making a lot of noise.
It's okay. I just need to take one drink of my Coke. All right. Ah, that was good.
That wasn't Coke.
Now, let's talk
gasoline.
About... It was gasoline. Exactly. Nice. Now, let's talk about Top Chef real quick before we talk about Kitchen Nightmares.
Okay.
First, we'll talk about Top Chef, and then we'll Kitchen Nightmares will just annihilate Top Chef and the quality. By the way, I love that Top Chef is in HD now, because I don't care what the food tastes like, because it always looks good. And then they're like, oh, this tastes horrible. It's like, it looks great, though.
Yeah, but it probably tastes terrific to us if we were to try it.
Yeah, I don't have as developed palate as those people. For Christ's sakes, because I eat like Campbell's soup and stuff. But let's start off with that, Bill, because...
Yeah, they would probably
like
think,
Hot
oh.
Pockets and...
Yeah, because they... I definitely don't eat Hot Pockets.
No, I'm teasing.
But I don't want the diarrhea. No, but...
that is some serious pepperoni in that stuff.
Yikes. But they start out with the Quick Fire Challenge. You guys like
they
that?
They always do.
Finally put it in my brain. And
the Quick Fire Thingamajig.
They trick it up this time where instead of using fresh ingredients like they always do, they have to create a meal with canned goods and crap you buy at the store, like boxes
like
of
cereal and
pretzels and Fritos and stuff like that. And they're like, oh my God, a chef wouldn't be caught dead making food with this stuff.
No, there was one guy that said that, and it was that arrogant,
friggin'. It was a guy, douchebag. Jeff. The guy, Jeff, he goes, Jesus yeah. Christ, how am I going to make something with this stuff?
It's garbage.
No, but
I can't believe it's, oh.
But they
no
were
chef
all.
Expecting a chef would do anything with this.
Yeah, no, but they were all saying that. Like that girl, Jamie, like, chefs try to pride themselves on making fresh ingredients. Except for the guy on Kitchen Nightmares later. He doesn't care. But except for Pinto.
Nobody on Kitchen Nightmares.
I thought one thing, Hosea was talking about how much Stefan gets on his nerves. And he made like a split pea soup with Spam in it. or whatever, and
yeah, he used canned peas, made sweet pea soup with Spam.
And Stefan made a soup also with some Spam, but he tricked it up. He made a grilled cheese sandwich with some Spam in it too.
Yeah.
And he won out over Hosea, and he was like, oh, I shouldn't have, because he was like, hey, could I have some of your Spam? And he's like, I don't really want to, because he couldn't be a dick to the guy. Mason,
yeah, what else are you going to do? Go, no, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to have this Spam, I'm not going to use.
And he could have done that, technically. He could have said no, because sure. That guy, Fabio, he's like, give me, what were they fighting over? Some kind of like...
Artichokes.
Artichokes. He's like, hey, I need that can of artichokes. He goes, no, 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 I'm using both cans of artichokes. And he's like, what a dick or whatever. But, hey, what are you going to do? So maybe he should have. But anyway, Stefan won that challenge, making his little meal.
Yeah, but Stefan's stuff just looks so much better than any other's.
Yeah, the guy is real arrogant, but he seems to make food that looks good, doesn't he?
That's the difference with arrogance. You're allowed to be arrogant if you're good.
Right, and that's the thing people don't understand. He's arrogant, and he's like, you know, I don't like that guy. He doesn't give a shit if you like him or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's there to win, you know, and he's obnoxious. Just like he's always annoying the lesbian girl, Jamie. He's like, oh, I so love it. She gets so angry. Now, that's my Finnish accent, by the way. It sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds
a lot like Fabio. What's funny is that Jamie's arrogant, too, but she's next to worthless.
She's like, I think I showed them I'm a force to be reckoned with when she won last week. So yeah. Anyway,
she read comic books here all of a sudden. I'm a force to be reckoned with.
This is the first week she hasn't been wearing.
Filthier.
She's not wearing her cheeseburger T-shirt with French fries. She wears that every
thank
week.
Thank God for that.
I want to get one of those shirts, man. That looks awesome.
Make you hungry?
But
I'll find
it. It's
you.
Cool. It's got cheeseburgers, French fries, Cokes on it. It's really awesome.
And a picture of Guy Fieri on the back.
Yeah, but yeah,
that's out of bounds.
Huh?
He always says that's out of bounds on that stupid show. Never mind.
I just heard when he says, put the kids in the pool. But anyway, okay, Top Chef. Bill, they send him out to like a farm, an agricultural center where they grow fresh produce and they have chickens and pigs and
stuff.
Yeah,
and it's got a restaurant on the farm. That's the coolest thing about it.
Yeah. And so basically their challenge is to make a meal for all the farmers and stuff, people work there, out of all these fresh ingredients. You know,
from the best possible ingredients.
Right. They've got fresh pork, fresh chicken, fresh...
Did they have the Burger King Angry Onion?
Oh, fresh lamb.
Good Lord, Stephen.
They've got... basically, they got
dumb commercial.
All these awesome ingredients and everything they kind of planned before they got there. They thought they were just going to go to the Whole Foods market. They kind of tricked it up, and Hosea and Arianne...
God forbid you look the animal in the eye that you're going to be killing for food.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about Fabio? He's like, I respect the animal, even though I eat him.
I think that's something that a person that enjoys food and that is a carnivore needs to understand, that these animals, although, yes, they can be cute, they're also our food.
What, you can't look them in the eye before you kill them?
No, I mean, you can look the thing in the eye and you can treat it and raise it wonderfully, but it's still food. It's just like there's this disconnect that people have. Like, they can't... They have no problem with going to the grocery store and buying a ground-up cow.
Oh, you mean
but
people
you take them
want
to a farm and say, pick a cow to choose to, you know, butcher, and they're like, oh, I can't do that.
Right. I probably couldn't either, but I could eat the food, and I understand.
Oh, I totally could. In fact, I did one time.
But I'm not... You butchered an animal?
No, I went to a farm.
Oh, okay.
And picked out a cow, and had, you know, that was the cow that we got the meat from. In fact, my grandfather was a farmer, and he would, he had cow, you know, so I would go out there on the weekends, and I was around the sheep and the cows and everything that... I later ate. So I guess maybe that's why I have more appreciation for it.
Right. So basically they make all these meals and
sorry.
Stuff. I was just like, okay. But no, seriously, Bill.
That's my little pet peeve. Never mind.
But I don't understand. Did somebody on the show do something that made you...
That's what I was wondering.
Well, they were complaining, like, what is this? Why are we here?
Oh, okay.
Why do we have to, you know... hang around with these animals, stuff like that. They were acting, they had this really odd disconnect for a chef, you know, to go to a farm and be so appalled.
Yeah,
yet.
I think it was really cool how they showed, the people who work there showed how, like, we have people who manage the the animals. They have people who grow the stuff, the crops and stuff. And yeah. then they cook these awesome meals, and they got this restaurant there. So basically what they all did is disappointed everybody with their meals pretty much, didn't they?
Yeah, I think the one guy that was a guest judge that I don't know if he was the chef of the restaurant or the guy that ran the farm, I'm not sure. But he was like visibly upset at some of the dishes.
First of all, the Jeff and Radica and Fabio, they made pig. They took all the fat off of it. They deboned everything. And he's like, well, what are you doing? The fat's the best part of pork, you know? What are you doing?
Yeah, the Jeff, who prides himself on healthy cooking, like that's his whole thing.
Yeah, he seared
this entire
everything.
Season is that he cooks healthy at like a spa or some shit. And he actually took all the fat off of a pork loin, which is already incredibly lean, a pork loin.
Right.
So you got to keep that like nice little edge of fat on it, and he's like, well, I had to take that off and all the silver skin, and the guy was like, why? Why would you do that?
And then Ariane takes the baby lamb and tenderizes the shit out of it. She's just banging on it.
It literally looked like she ran it through a ringer.
Yeah, and he was
it was so destroyed.
Yeah, the guy was like, it's baby lamb. It's already tender. What are you doing? She's like, well, I never really...
Oh. Yeah, she didn't even put two and two together. Baby, lamb, tender. She treated it like it was mutton.
But I thought she was screwed because she was originally going to prepare the lamb the way she knew how. And then Hosea started second-guessing. Oh, I don't know if we should do this. I think maybe we should, what did he say? We should stew it?
He wanted to roast it.
Yeah, roast
he?
It. Like tie it up and roast it. And she'd never done that before. I don't know why people don't speak up for themselves, say, I'm not comfortable doing that, but she ended up screwing herself. Let's go ahead and check this clip out.
All right, the lamb team.
The decision to take the lamb and pound it out and then roll it up, why did you make that decision?
We were a little unsure if we had braised it, it wouldn't have been tender enough. So we felt like if we tenderized it, roasted it, it would have taken less time.
Why the tenderizing? I mean, baby lamb, by definition... is tender.
Okay.
Who broke down the lamb?
I broke down primarily all the lamb.
The lamb was just not only butchered incorrectly, but just butchered, period.
Exactly. And the thought process behind it had very little thought.
This was about the farm, this was about the animals, and I think that Ariane really did a disservice to that lamb. I mean, Hosea kind of knew that she couldn't butcher. He didn't jump in, but she just had to butcher a leg of lamb. What is she doing here?
But on the other hand, I feel sorry for her because at least she went in there and she said, I'm going to butcher this lamb.
But I don't think you should let pity cloud your judgment. I mean, I feel sorry for her too because she can't cook.
Well, she can. She's done some great things. We're focusing on what she did tonight.
Isn't part of our rubric, which is to completely ignore everything that's come before and judge them entirely on their performance today.
You know, and on the lamb team... Leo, we didn't really contribute much to the team at all. You said that you wanted more to do, but need to fight for the dishes that you want to have on the menu. Ariane, I was quite surprised to hear you say that you didn't have that kind of butchering experience, and yet you would take that role and put yourself in that position. The meat wasn't properly butchered, wasn't properly cooked, and there was just a heavy hand of marinade when we needed to coax those flavors in the lamb out. Hosea, listening to you say that you probably have more experience butchering, but yet you let your teammate flounder and let her do something that she was clearly over her head in doing, and I'm not quite sure of the wisdom there. You should know better that your team needs to be helped out.
Aaron, please pack your knives and go.
You know what sucked about that? Ariane had made, they determined that she could make meat so good. Like, that's what the one thing she did well.
And that's probably why they gave it to her, is because she was so good with protein. But there's a difference between cooking and butchering.
Yeah.
You know, if she didn't have the butchering skills, Hosea should have did that. And then let her, and you were right, braising it, that's basically a stew. That's what they wanted to do originally.
I think she just got screwed, basically.
She really did. I don't think she deserved to go home this week. I think the girl, the other one,
yeah,
what's her name,
should
have went. Because she did nothing. She basically stood by the sidelines and just let
let Ariane take the fall.
And that's another thing, that Radhika, she just made corn. Like,
yeah, she grilled corn for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
But let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares, which has been gone for a long time.
Yeah, almost, what, a month or more?
Yeah, but it's nice to see that Gordon Ramsay's sticking with the same formula. Hey,
and what, in 2 weeks from now, Hell's Kitchen is back?
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen's back. So he's at this place called, what is it called? Cafe
36?
Yeah, Cafe 36, and he tastes the food. And immediately we know, because of the chef named Pinto, that the food is bad. And here's a scene here where basically he's talking to the chef and his experience and how he deals with food and why it tastes so bad. Because he's just tasted some horrible, chewy risotto. So let's check this out.
Where is the risotto rice?
It's in the cooler.
Can you get it to me?
Yes.
I'm just amazed that you lived in Italy that length of time. You studied there, you worked there. And they didn't even teach you how to make risotto. What's that date?
2:20.
What's the date today?
28.
You've got the to walk in here on a Thursday and serve that from a week ago. It's mush.
There was no bad on the stale food. Nothing smelled bad.
Why in your tiny mind do you think it's still fresh from last Saturday?
It was in the reaching cooler.
A reaching cooler confirms in your mind that it's fresh.
Well,
I'm sorry, but I mean, you know, this is really weird for me. Bring me everything in that fridge that's a week old. You call yourself the executive chef? You should be ashamed. You served me risotto from a week old. Oh, my God. All this is from last week.
I was very shocked to find out that we were not serving fresh products.
How do owners never know this shit?
And yeah. I was getting very angry and mad inside myself to say, how can my staff do this?
Chopped clams. Hate you. We're keeping clams from a week ago. Smell that.
Yum.
What does it smell of?
That doesn't smell good.
Smell.
Nothing like old clams.
Congratulations.
Did you hear that guy? He said it smells good.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're not a real chef, good. Are you?
Yes, I am.
Like my wife.
Any chef that keeps hold of that crap in his fridge for a week, 2 weeks, in my mind, has given up. A lack of caring, a lack of responsibility, and more importantly, ignorance.
Everything's frozen. Frozen and defrosted. The place is a mess.
Pinto! Certified exec!
Pinto!
What's going on here? What's all this stuff floating in water?
That's the group are taken out from the freezer to keep it fresh frozen.
Fresh frozen?
Yes, sir.
There's fresh no such frozen. Thing. It's either fresh or it's frozen.
I understand.
What's this in water?
It's a salmon, chef.
Frozen?
Yeah. It was a fresh frozen. You keep it frozen, fresh frozen, it tastes more fresh.
It's mad.
It is.
You're making all this fresh stuff, freezing it, and then taking it out 2 portions at a time per day.
Because it doesn't sell enough.
And what?
If you had planned your business like this.
Nothing to do with business. That's lazy. Everything's frozen.
It's fresh frozen. It's not frozen.
So we take it out. We
I guess
thaw.
He doesn't know that if it doesn't sell enough, you don't buy as
cold,
much.
Cold. Yeah, so thaw. We stuff the trout, then we refreeze the trout.
Yes.
Oh, that's gross.
I rest my case, certified jerk.
I love it.
So he unthaws the trout, stuffs it, and then refreezes it. Mmm, that's got to have a nice texture to it.
He's got fresh frozen and slow thaw. Whatever
slow
that is.
Thaw. That's where he keeps the frozen food in pots of water.
But there is one more slow moment thaw. Here where he asks him about if is there anything in this restaurant that you don't freeze? And I thought this was pretty funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What is that?
This is the butter that we use for the escargot. It's parsley, chive, garlic.
The butter's frozen as well. What don't you freeze? What stuff don't you freeze? Give me one ingredient.
Like a calamari comes in.
Like the calamari.
Comes in cooked. We never freeze it.
So the only stuff you don't freeze is the stuff that comes in frozen.
I want to slap the guy at that point.
I guess he just didn't. Maybe he just doesn't speak English very well. He
Pinto.
Didn't understand.
I love that his name is Pinto.
That's the best name.
The sad thing about it is this old couple that should have been retired, they used all of their savings, they sold their house, they sold one of their cars to run this restaurant.
Yeah, it's one of those Really tragic. And this Pinto guy is just completely clueless, taking advantage of them.
And the guy...
And you know what? They should know better. They don't have any business training. They don't know how to run a restaurant. And they put all of the responsibility on this Pinto, and he just took him for a ride.
The owner doesn't have... He can't fire the guy when he should have... You could tell Gordon Ramsay was hinting at him, you got to fire the guy the whole time. And maybe because of the lawsuit in season one, he's not going to come right out and say fire him, but he's saying I would fire him or whatever. So the guy doesn't. And in fact, it doesn't even – you know how they'll have a successful night and then everything's better and like a week later they had like some kind of festival and they made food there. They didn't have any of that. Basically, Gordon Ramsay kind of says, well, I hope everything works out for you guys. And they wanted to give him this expensive bottle of wine. He goes, no, you hold it. Maybe when I come back in a year – hopefully, if you're still here, we'll drink it together. And he leaves, and then it says the next day Pinto left or he was fired. So I almost feel like Gordon Ramsay just gave up. You're like, if they're not going to fire the guy, they're not going to succeed at this place.
Yeah, there's nothing he can do.
Yeah, they're just shit out of luck. But I'm glad Kitchen Nightmares is back because it's entertaining to watch while I eat lunch or whatever. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's gross where I can't watch it.
Yeah, like the Mexican restaurant one, I was dry heaving.
But at least this one wasn't too gross. They got past the old food pretty quick.
Yeah, it wasn't. There was really nothing rotten. It was just the way the guy treated the food.
It's fresh,
and it was more just sad. These poor people put all their money into their dream, and they're just being. And they said since they'd opened it, they'd never taken a paycheck.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, that's sad.
The best part, though, is when the waiter, who's sick of witnessing all this going on, because he's the one who has to tell the customers that, oh, it's coming, don't worry. And he's basically, I'm lying to their faces. So he goes up to the manager. This is after Gordon Ramsay talks him up, the owner, and he goes, you need to tell these people what to do. They won't respect you unless you get on them. So he's like, all right. So he's standing there, and this waiter... this little hoity-toity waiter comes up. He goes, what does he go? You need to wake up, and you need to fire him. And he goes, well, listen to me. You don't talk to me like that because you're just a waiter, and you need to know your place. And the guy's just like, oh, and he walks away.
It's like, you're right. I'm sorry. Let me go get my trolley.
He chose to go up to the owner at the wrong time. Yeah, that was so funny. Instead of carrying all the food, they came up with this plan where they all have these little trolleys, these little, and they even made like a motor, like a choo-choo train sound when they first got. So they push all your food out on a cart, and he's like, what they all got trolleys for? Yeah. And they even make like a whoo-hoo sound. It's
What's
so cheesy.
Funny is, I've never in my life seen those in a restaurant.
Me neither. That's crazy.
I've been to some pretty up there restaurants in my life, and I've never seen a trolley.
Like a Tavern on the Green, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Like a very highly rated, expensive restaurant, and I've never in my life seen a trolley.
They need to start doing that, I think. It seems like
maybe whenever they serve like a like Bananas Foster, like the flaming dessert, it's all about, you know, the showmanship of it. Do they bring a trolley out because they have to have a hot plate and everything? But never have I seen anybody serve anything.
I've seen like the meat thing, like you pick out your steak, or like the dessert thing, something like that. But let's talk about Smallville real quick, Bill. Did you know Smallville was back this week?
I didn't know.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and it came back in rare form, which means it was actually good.
Yeah, I was.
I should have it recorded then, though.
It had the Legion of Superheroes on it.
What were they from? Like the 31st century in the comics?
Yeah, they're way from the future, and they're buddies with Superman way in the future. So they come back because some guy from their time has gone back in time to kill Kal-El. So they go back in time to save him. But of course, you know, they have to have the dialogue where Clark is like, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing here? You know, they have to have him ask those questions over and over again. But I thought it was...
Peter Petrelli syndrome.
Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun, though. You know, you had Chloe. She had... I'm glad they didn't have to bring back the actor. Was it James Marsters?
James Marsden? Marsters.
They didn't have to bring him back as Brainiac, because Brainiac was inside Chloe. So it was evil Chloe. You know, they did that. But
it was goth Chloe.
And, you know, they actually had Lana acting normal and not stupid.
Yeah, and not whining or crying.
She even tells Clark, like the whole thing about the thing is some item, some Kryptonian artifact broke, which you would use to suck Brainiac out of Chloe's body and she'd be okay. But instead, now they're going to have to kill her in order to kill Brainiac. But Clark's like, no, Chloe's my friend. And they're like, I'm sorry, we got to kill her. And he's like, no. So they talk to Lana.
Oh.
The cute little blonde chick from the future talks to Lana, and she's like, we've got to kill Chloe. She's like, no, that wouldn't be right. That's the only way to kill Brainiac. So the whole thing's about that until Lana's like, Clark, the old Clark I would know would say, not only were you not going to kill Chloe, but we're also going to find a way to get rid of Brainiac. So he's like, yeah, you're right. And then they all come together and kick his ass. But
did the girl from the future not have a voice like Jerry from The Facts of Life?
Jerry.
She had that kind of like she was deaf. Or so, she had a very odd accent. Inflection in her voice.
I didn't notice. I didn't think so.
You know, like she was from out of Children of a Lesser God or something. There was something odd about her voice. Maybe it's just where she's from, but it sounded like she had a bit of a deaf thing going on.
I didn't notice at all in the least. But I thought it was a fun episode, and next week I'm sure it'll suck again.
Yeah, I didn't even see the previews for next week, so
they didn't have any. Maybe it's not going to be bad.
Yeah, all I know is that Clark got a warning.
Yeah,
be careful in the days ahead, and Doomsday hatched. So I guess they're not going to need Starkiller anymore.
Oh, it was funny. Lightning Lad said, "Where's your cape?" And he's like, "Cape." But another thing that I liked is they go, "We know who." All about your life. We know who Jimmy Olsen is, who Lana Lang is, Lois Lane, but we've never heard of a Chloe. And they're like, yeah, who's Chloe Sullivan? And he's like, And it's like, yeah, writers of the TV show. I thought that was kind of funny. You know they threw that in there just for that. But Friday Night Lights finale happened. It was good stuff, I thought, Bill. It was a good
Very dramatic, very well done, as always.
Good way to end the series. Hopefully it's not ending. Because they built some stuff up for next season, Steven, just in case.
They sure right. did, and I tell you what, if they come back, that is going to be a good season. Some excellent storylines there.
Because basically, remember how they set up the season that they're going to split Dylan and have a different East Dylan or whatever? You knew they didn't just bring that up for no reason.
Right.
And also you had Joe McCoy. Remember he's sitting at the head of the table while all those little minions or Booster Club guys are drawing up their own split down Dylan. It's all zigzag and crooked because they have certain players in certain areas, and he's overseeing that. Well, it turns out Buddy and Coach Taylor are going to go to this kid's house to kind of talk to him, trying to get him to go to Dylan because he'd be good for the football team. And the dad's like, who are you guys? I already talked to Joe McCoy and Wade Aikman.
The head coach.
Yeah, he talked to Wade Aikman, who he thought was running the team. And, you know, that pisses him off. So he goes straight to Joe McCoy's house to give him a talk, you know, talking to. And this is what happens.
What can I do for you, Eric?
Buddy Garrity and I went over to Shane Dubuque's yesterday.
That kid's an animal. Like water?
No. As I understand it, you and Wade were over there last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, you might be able to imagine how that makes me feel.
Hey, if we lost Shane Dubuque to Arnett Mead, we'd be dead next year, so I figure we need him. Let's go get him.
Hey, Joe. I don't want you and Wade running around making house calls, acting like you represent this team.
Well, I didn't see you moving aggressively on him, and I did not want to miss that opportunity.
Joe, you do not represent this team.
I backed up a truckload of cash for this team this year. Without my son, there is no team, so as far as I'm concerned, I represent this team as much as anybody else in this town.
You trying to replace me?
If you would like to continue, I need your guarantee that, barring injury, of course, my son starts every game next season. I also need your guarantee that Wade Aikman calls all the plays.
Mac calls my plays.
Yeah, I know.
Joe, I don't give a damn how much money you got. I don't care how well you think that boy here's can throw a football. But you're not just messing with my livelihood now. You are threatening my family.
I'm not threatening anybody. Against my better judgment, I am offering you an opportunity to continue with this team.
I'm I'm sure you know what you can do with that opportunity.
So basically, this episode, Stephen, it pretty much sets up that Joe McCoy is totally screwing the coach, and they're getting Wade Aikman in there. And you know how Buddy Garrity is. He wants whoever's going to win. So even he can't stick up for the coach because he thinks it sounds great. This guy with a lot of money, Joe McCoy, and he's got Wade Aikman, who wasn't the – didn't they kind of mention that he was an actual quarterback, I believe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something like that at one time. A pro quarterback.
And he coached some pro football, too.
Kind of quarterback coach or something like that. But so that's basically happening. And
what I want to know is if the coaching staff from Dillon will follow Coach Taylor to East Dillon High.
I know Mac would because
definitely will because he's out of a job.
Right. So there's that, and after that scene, you're just like, man, that asshole, you're all pissed off, you know?
I looked at my dad and said, I hope it comes back next year, because I want to see him just beat the crap out of the Panthers.
Right, because what you see is, you know the coach is going to coach for that new high school, East Dillon, which apparently...
East Dillon Lions.
I didn't realize at the time, when they first mentioned it earlier in the season, that it actually was a high school in Dillon, and then it... closed and everybody just went to Dillon High because the high school already exists because he walks over there and looks at the field. It's all
disheveled.
Disheveled, decrepit and everything.
Yeah, it's got like this sign all ripped up. It says State Champions 1987. That's probably the last year that place was open. It looks like it was just trashed.
Right. So it looks
You brought up a good point while we were chatting this week. You said, well, if they had this field, why did they need to go out and do the game in the middle of the other field in the second season?
Yeah, they went to like a farm and they had a game there. Remember that? Right. The Mud Bowl or whatever? It's like, but if this field always existed, they'd even had bleachers and a scoreboard. Why didn't they just go, oh, maybe it's because the writers hadn't thought of it yet. But I was just but maybe they could make up something like, yeah, too bad we couldn't play the Mud Bowl there because we didn't have the proper paperwork. It's like, yeah, whatever, writers. Man,
it's like that school was closed. They didn't. They
it's
didn't...
so bad.
they hadn't upgraded it yet.
They're basically dealing with all the different characters here, and Tim Riggins and Billy, of course, are the best, who are opening up their own garage. Riggins Brothers.
And Riggins Riggs.
Did you like? Yeah, Riggins Riggs.
No, it wasn't
Riggs.
Riggins Brothers. It was just Riggins Riggs. Yeah.
Riggins Riggs. And they go to this auction to buy a lift, and he talks them into buying this.
The Longhorn steer.
I love that. He's like,
I dare anyone to drive out here not come in because we got the steer.
I was like, please don't tell me they're doing it. And I love their
And then I loved later, it shows them broken down on the side of the road in that. That cow in the back just kind of like
sitting and he's like, Billy, that's not what's wrong with it. You got to listen to it. He's like, what are you, the car whisperer?
That was good. It ends up being the timing.
Yeah.
It's like, and his brother Billy's just like so downhearted downhearted because he can't even fix a car and he's opening up a repair shop.
I was like, Tim, I'm opening it. I'm a mechanic, a fix-a shop. I don't know how to fix anything. That was great.
That's why you hire mechanics to do the work.
He's like, you're just chilling back, drinking beer. I love how beer always chilling and drinking beer is the best part of owning your own business, you know?
Well, that was the best part at the end. For him, you know,
right?
Like, I just won't go to college.
Because the whole thing is, will Lila really go to this party school, San Antonio State? And Buddy mentions his brother, her Uncle Gary. He could ask him for the money, even though he doesn't talk to Uncle Gary. And the first thing I thought is like, oh, I gotta see this Uncle Gary next season.
Yeah, and what does Uncle Gary do to have that money just disposable like that?
And Bill, you said. Scary Uncle Gary Busey. That'd be great. Uncle Gary's Gary Busey. Yeah, that would be scary. But that I like that. So basically they were setting up that, you know, Lila was only going to San Antonio State because she could afford it. She really wanted to go to a good college. What college was it again?
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. So she really wanted to go to that. And So she decides to, and this whole thing, it builds up to Billy's wedding, which I thought was great, like the tackiest wedding you've ever seen.
Crap, I just brain farted. Oh, the mariachi band singing Baby, I Love Your Way as she walks down the aisle.
And I love her, like, wings on the back of her dress.
She had a butterfly on the back of her wedding dress.
Oh, my God. Oh, and by Tyra has found out she's going to college at this point, too. That I love the part where Landry pulls over. He's like, I can't take this anymore. Because by then, the viewer's like ready to shoot themselves. He's like, stop fooling. Sorry for yourself. You worked real hard. It's going to happen. You just got to chill or whatever.
You just got to believe.
Oh, and I love
that. You got to believe in yourself.
And later on at home, the mom and her sister, she's like, can't you not give her that letter till after my wedding? She wants her to hide it until after the wedding.
It just shows they're... God, they are two of the most self-centered people.
I love that. She wants to hide it. She's like, she's going to ruin my wedding, being all feeling sorry for herself. She's probably right. If she would have got rejected, she wouldn't ruin the wedding. But luckily, she got in, and that was over with that. So also, you have the Matt Saracen, his grandmother's. That stuff was very sad.
That was terrible. I mean,
that was some tear jerking stuff.
And you could tell he didn't want to leave her, and she just kept saying, "You need to go home."
It's okay,
like,
it'll be fine. She's setting up her little room.
Yeah, that was really sad.
And when they walk in, and she's like trying to look all strong, and all these like old people that are so worse off than she is. And...
Oh yeah, it just looks like a depressing place, and they're playing cards. Yeah. She's like, "This is my grandson. He's a quarterback."
He was.
Oh, and that part where she's got his old pictures. She goes, "If I ever forget who you are, I can just look at this picture." It's just so sad. Yeah. And I love that.
You know, she was just pulling at it. You know, just like playing him a little bit. You know, like
I don't know. She seemed awful genuine.
But I mean.
I know what you're saying. I think any person does that. Just like a parents always play with our emotions. They like do those little digs.
Yeah.
Not that
she didn't want the best for him, but it was just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be back here, and this is all I have of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right. Yeah, she's done that a lot in the past, but I didn't feel like she was at that point, though.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is
she knew she was going.
You can read that into people sometimes when they're not really doing it. But I think she was genuine this time around.
I think she wasn't doing it in a mean, spiteful way. You know?
Oh, well, she's not a mean, spiteful character.
Right, that's what I'm saying. She wasn't
doing it mean.
Yeah.
But
I don't want you around here.
But later on, I love that when Julie says that your grandmother would have loved this, he goes to get her. And
yeah, that was nice.
The part where he says, "You're the only person in my life that didn't leave me," I thought that was a great moment because they've showed how his character is always abandoned. Like he felt like the coach abandoned him when he left town and all that. So that was a good moment for his character. They did well for his character, even though they gave him this art talent all of a sudden.
Out of nowhere. Which now seems like it won't really matter since he's probably going to stick around there. And be with her. He's not going to leave her behind.
He's not going anywhere, you know?
Maybe he'll find an art school in Austin or something.
She'll probably pass away by the... If it comes back, Julie graduates.
No. Oh, she's not going to pass away.
No.
That would be terrible.
No, in 2 years' time, you know, the way she's declining...
You're talking about the show's
over. Well, people that are senile do decline faster, but I don't know if they would pull that stunt on
the
show.
I love the moment where...
Well, if they pulled it just at the same time as Julie graduating so that both of them could leave together.
Yeah,
that's so... I mean, that would...
All right, let's kill the grandmother off and be convenient.
You're awful morbid, Steven.
But I love the... Julie...
No, I'm just saying that's a kind of
convenience. I love when Julie says, let's break up. I think it'll be best because you're going to school. He's like, no, we're not breaking up.
I like that. That was classy.
Yeah, I love all that, and so we really like the show, and it's awesome, and all that stuff. And
we could go on for hours about the show.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights, and it's premiering tonight on NBC. For everyone who didn't have DirecTV, can watch it now, and hopefully we didn't spoil too much for everybody.
I think most people that haven't been able to watch the show on DirecTV have been smartly avoiding our little commentaries.
But I mean, we're not... By us telling them it's a good show, they already know if they watch the show. It really is. And I thought this season was awesome. It was a really good season. And one thing, you know, we talk about how good the show is, the quiet moments, but the show is hilarious. There are so many good laughs in
the
show.
The only complaint I think we have this season was that they kind of blew through a lot of stuff at the end here trying to wrap everything up.
And that's,
you know,
because they only had 13 episodes.
And we understand that, but I'm just saying, that's the only complaint I might have of the show.
It's honestly, I don't have a complaint because I know what they... The only thing that I kind of laughed about is how Matt, all of a sudden, he was into art and wanted to go to art school. Yeah. I was like, where the hell did that come from? But I have no complaints. The show's great, you know? Some of these shows let you down.
No,
do you
I mean,
like
we wanted more. That's our complaint. We wanted more.
Right. And I hope, honestly, if they bring the show back one more year, DirecTV's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's give them 22 episodes. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, really, give them more.
I want to see the whole thing. They set it up great. They made Joe McCoy the bad guy to see how the coach has nothing and how he can turn this team, East Dillon, into a rival for the other Dillon and kind of get his revenge on all these assholes. Because they show time and time again how this town acts like they love you until you lose. Then they can't wait to get rid of your ass.
I love the speech he gave at the school board meeting where he was like, listen, if you guys want to, you know, throw away a good coach for a guy with a lot of money and a kid with a good arm, you're dead wrong. Just the conviction he put in that line delivery, I think they're gonna have a really tough time with him.
And I love later when he sees his wife and he just looks at her face and he's like, he can tell reader especially, he's like, you kidding me, really?
Oh, that was so great. Like, not a line of dialogue, and you could see in his, like, the anger and the sadness in his face.
He's just like, they totally let me down. You know, I figured
if they don't nominate Kyle Chandler this year for an Emmy, there's something seriously wrong.
I know. And Connie Britton? Come on.
She is the ideal wife for a guy.
She's awesome.
And just the way she's written.
We forgot about the part where they buy Julie the car, and Julie, who's been this total selfish teenager, isn't even thinking about that at all. She's too consumed with Matt and all of what's going on in his life. I thought that was a good moment for her, too.
Yeah, I thought that was excellent. It gave the character a chance to
let's say gravitas,
show that there's more there.
They gave her some gravitas.
Yeah, some gravitas.
God bless your real breast.
Yes.
Oh my God, bless her real breast. Oh man, that scene at the wedding when she was dancing and then she turned around to look at me, I was like, oh, holy crap! Be still, my beating heart.
This is very uncomfortable now.
No, it's not. It's a wonderful thing. It's a terrific, beautiful thing.
That's right. Just like the power glove, right, Bill?
Yeah, and
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
And there was a great scene with Lila in a bikini, too, there at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning, they've got Lila and Tyra in a bikini. Good times or had Lila.
They know what to do with the women they have on that show.
All right, Bill, are we ready to do some news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
Let's do it. Yes, we are on live, Bill. What do we got in the news?
Say it again.
Are we, is this on live?
Are we on now?
We're definitely on now.
No, Tootsie, we're not. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am. All right. Police in Australia said a man was charged with driving under the influence after he was found sleeping next to his motorized bike in the middle of the road. So he... sleeping next to his moped.
Nice motorized bike.
Investigators said Lance Partridge, 47, was found sleeping next to his moped in the middle of the northbound lane of the F3 freeway in Sydney. Hornsbury local court heard Partridge had been drinking wine before he climbed onto his moped Thursday, intending to ride 155 miles from Sydney to his sister's home in Karua on the north coast. Police said he was highly intoxicated when they woke him up. He'd been out on bail for a previous alleged drunken driving offense. was charged with driving under the influence and alcohol and breaching bail. He's due back on the 21st. Oh, so I guess he lost his license and decided to drive a moped 155 miles.
You had to be drunk to try and decide that on a moped.
I was a real shit.
He needs Tarvuism.
Definitely.
I'm so straight, man. All right. Now, this is, I don't know if this is funny or sad or both. It's taken most of his life, but after 26 years, Graham Parker has finally solved the puzzle of the Rubik's Cube.
Nice.
Yeah, when he bought the toy in 1983, Yuri Antropov was a leader of the Soviet Union. Breakfast TV was a novelty, and music CDs were in shops for the first time. I cannot tell you what a relief it was to finally solve it, the 45-year-old from Porchester, Hampshire, said. It has driven me mad over the years, and it felt like it had taken over my life. I've missed important events to stay in and solve it, and I would lie awake at night thinking about it.
Oh, my God. Come on, dude.
I've had wrist and back problems from spending hours on it, but it was all worth it. When I clicked that last bit into place and each face was a solid color, I wept.
Wow. We all have to dream, I guess.
Yeah, really.
Mine.
His wife, Jean, 47, said it felt like there had been three people in their marriage. When I met Graham, he was already obsessed with the cube, spending hours on it every day. I've often thought about getting rid of it, but I knew he would not rest until he'd solved it. A spokesman for the governing body for competitions involving the puzzle, the World Cube Association, said it was definitely the longest it had taken to finish the cube. So he's got something to be proud of there.
You know what? I've never solved it.
I have.
It gives me time.
My friends had them, and I would screw around with it, but I never bothered. I didn't care. You know how I solved it? I took the stickers off and put them on in place.
Yeah, take the stickers. I remember
people did that back a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I never.
Yeah, but that was Steven's time. He didn't know Belle Biv DeVoe, but he knew Rubik's Cube.
I knew Rubik's Cube, damn it.
That is the best opening to any song.
It really is. But you got to see the video, Steven, just for the way they do the Belle Biv DeVoe to the beat. I love it.
I love YouTube, man. Some of the most stupid things in the world are on YouTube.
Any shit you think of from your past is on there. It is.
I was a little upset that there wasn't as many Ronco commercials on YouTube.
Yeah.
for my break. I can only find like five or six of them that were of decent quality, and then I just threw that Weird Al song into it to stretch it out to 6 minutes, but... You know, I was looking for all the great ones, and they only had a handful of them. All right, well, here's one way to break up with somebody. A St. Cloud woman is in jail after police said she tried to set her boyfriend on fire using a lighter and air freshener.
Yikes.
Investigators say 49-year-old woman is accused of pouring fingernail polish remover on the victim and the blanket covering him, then trying to light him on fire. The victim was able to take their air freshener from the woman. Police say... She then hit him on the back of the head and bit him several times. As a man tried to call police, the woman allegedly ripped the phone cord out of the wall. I think maybe this woman likes to bite her dog. The woman is in the Stearns County Jail on suspicion of domestic assault. Suspicion?
It's like...
How can there be any suspicion?
Dude, one more proof, DD! The bitch is crazy!
Until she's convicted.
Help me! She set me on fire! Alright, now this is great. Poor Circuit City. I mean, they finally announced this week.
Oh, poor Circuit City.
You know, they're going to liquidate every store. They're going out of business. Like I told you earlier, I think it's karma from the Divx fiasco.
You know what? Let me ask you this, because I've always wondered this. Say, a month ago, or even 6 months ago, you bought a big HDTV with them, and you still owe payments, will that just disappear? You still
no, that won't disappear.
Damn.
Because their payments are through, like, Chase. You know, through a bank, not through them.
Oh.
So they don't own the financing company. They just have a partnership with them. So it'll probably change from, like, a Circuit City card.
So it'll basically go to, like, a creditor-type person who will want the money still.
But you know what I'm thinking? I'm wondering, will they keep their online store? Will they go, you know, are they just closing retail? Because I have a Circuit City credit card, and is it going to be worth anything?
Probably not.
So, oh well. That's normally where I'd get my TVs, because they had the best return policy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could call them and say, listen, this TV's acting up, or I don't like the way the picture looks. They'll send somebody out. They'll bring you a new one. Take that one back. I went through like 3 or 4 TVs before I got one that I was satisfied with the picture.
Now now there's Best Buy is it, right?
For electronics, unless you go to...
Electronics-wise, yeah, I think Best Buy is the only national chain.
I know they also have cons. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not national. That's
just different areas.
Yeah, we don't have anything like that around in Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Like, they have online things like DVDs. We've already determined, like, Blu-rays and video games, it's cheaper to buy online in this day and age, unless you have some kind of, like, coupon or something. But
yeah, retail's worthless.
But if you're gonna buy a TV, it seems like a pain in the ass to buy it online and have it shipped, doesn't it? Isn't there
actually, from what I understand, Amazon uses a really good shipping company called Eagle, and because I'm seriously thinking about getting my next TV through Amazon.
That's what I was going to ask about, like Crutchfield. I've always gotten Crutchfield catalogs, and I look through them. But
Crutchfield is another excellent shipping company. They like double box stuff and use a good freight company. I think you have to pay extra for Crutchfield, though, for them to deliver it into the house, whereas Amazon, everything is that white glove delivery.
A+ for effort.
And thank you.
A+.
Well, yeah, I've always just wondered that. If you're going to shell out the money, I'd be really nervous, like, oh, God, they're sending me my TV. Please don't let anything happen to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, there's a 67-inch Samsung that I'm thinking about getting from Amazon. They have it for $1,800, which is ridiculous. When I bought my 57-inch TV, it was $2,700. So.
When Steven and I brought my TV home from Best Buy, of course, it was raining. It was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's raining in the back. We
had a tarp over it.
Yeah, we had to get a tarp over it and everything. But that was exciting, though. Someone keeps trying to
call me. Yeah, I remember that day you got it. Because you're like, I got it. I remember you like dissected your entertainment center to turn it into a stand, which you did excellently.
Yeah, Steven helped me. We did it, Steven. It was awesome. Basically, we busted, use a transformer. You know, it's like, it was awesome.
You used the Destructicons?
I wanted to say, Bill, that somebody keeps trying to call, and I just keep missing it. And
it's probably Andy.
Oh, okay.
Because he can't get on the computer. I think his computer's down. I don't know.
He can try to call one more time. It's like the little box pops up, and I'm not always paying attention, or it's like too late or something like that. But anyway,
right.
What else do we have, Bill?
All right, anyway, the story has to do with Circuit City. In Salisbury, Maryland, authorities are looking for two men they say walked out of a local Circuit City with a $2,300 television. Employees at a Circuit City told police two men walked into the store around 3 p.m. Sunday and walked out with a 67-inch Samsung TV. Maybe that's mine. The TV was sitting on a box on display, or in a box on display, sorry. According to the Salisbury Police Department report, each man picked up a side of the box and they just walked out. An employee who saw the men leaving asked them if they needed extra string to tie down the television. One of the suspects answered yes. The employee went inside. When he came back out, the men and the TV were gone. The employee saw the men driving away, the passenger sticking his hand out of the window to support the box on the car's roof. He put the box for a 67-inch television on the roof of a car.
And they laid it sideways, basically?
Yeah.
Wow.
The store's manager discovered none of the store's employees had sold the television to the men.
I was going to tell you the other day I saw on the back of a truck, these people had a rear projection HD TV uncovered, and I could see the wind from it driving, the screen bowing outward.
Oh.
And I was like, holy shit, those people are idiots. It was just like, because you know so much air and stuff. And I was like, those people are friggin' morons, man. I was just laughing. Like, you
way to ruin a TV.
All right.
Witnesses told police one of the men was white, the other was black. Both men appeared in their mid-30s, both have slim build, weighing between 150 and 170 pounds, and both had stubble on their faces. Oh, no.
I'm, like, so permanently overwhelmed.
That's just so funny that they just go in, pick up the TV, walk out. Employee's like, hey, you need some string? So yeah, that, sure.
I guess that was pretty smart of him. He goes, yeah, go get the string. But, okay, here's the thing. If you're going to steal a TV that big, have transportation where you can fit the thing, you know? It's like,
No, we're just going to put it on top of our car. I mean, they obviously didn't think about it.
Wow.
But, I mean, do they honestly think they're going to catch these guys?
No, they're not catching them.
All right, last story. Police arrested and charged two men for stealing 55 cases of Red Bull.
Nice.
Valued at $2,000 from a van that was delivering the drink to a mini mart. The incident, which led to a car chase on Route 1 into Linden, and a short foot chase occurred at 1 p.m., police said. Jerome Smith, 26, of Linden, and Robert Callahan, 46, of Teaneck, were charged with two counts of burglary and theft, arresting... Resisting arrest by flight, criminal mischief, and possession of burglary tools.
So that Red Bull is pretty expensive per can, isn't it?
It is expensive. It's like $2 a can.
And it's only, what, like 8 or 9 ounces? 10 ounces, maybe?
It's not even that, Steven. I'm guessing maybe it's 6 ounces. Because it's those small cans. And it's... Okay, so there's 4 cans in a pack, in the normal pack. And I think it runs like $6.50 for that. So that's it's expensive, and it tastes like crap.
What does it taste like? I've never tried it.
It's very floral. It's sweet and it's floral. If that makes any
sense.
Tastes
like a rose, or
yeah. It's got a very floral taste to it. It almost tastes medicine-y.
Now back off and let me pee.
I mean, the only real use for it, you don't drink it because you enjoy it.
It's just like
you either mix it with
energy.
The best way to drink it is to mix it with vodka because it gets you slightly drunk and the caffeine offsets the.
But I mean, it's an energy drink. Does it give you energy for a while?
It definitely does. I mean,
I keep seeing the commercial with that little bottle that guy has.
The 5-hour
energy. Yeah,
5-hour energy.
Oh, 5-hour energy.
I did.
Would have my buddy pick one up whenever he comes into the gym.
Well, I did one when I was here for a show. I was so tired, and
You were under the influence.
It did nothing for me.
You know, you shouldn't drink that. That stuff's poison,
doesn't
even.
You need to, if you want to boost, you normally need my tip.
Ah, so that'd be 10-hour energy.
Yeah, I've drank 2 of them in one night, splashed with a little vodka, and it has kept me up all night.
I'm a priest Monty at my local chapel.
I already drink a lot of caffeine, and so
well,
if
then
anything
it probably wouldn't affect you.
Yeah,
your body's probably so used to it.
Yeah,
it seems like if caffeine is what's energizing you, you're just going to crash majorly.
Well, you know what? They use that guarana root in it, which is they say is a natural alternative to caffeine, but there's still a crap load of caffeine. I think the best for any kind of energy is that Monster Energy.
That's what I. Drink now.
That stuff I'll get, and plus they have it in like 6 packs, which is nicer. Or 4? No, it's still in 4-pack cubes.
Yeah, because they're the oversized cans.
Yeah, that stuff it tastes good, and it really has a lot of caffeine in it.
Yeah, I like the Assault 3.
But I can't drink a lot of it because I can literally feel my heart palpitate from it. I mean, that is some serious shit.
I remember, like, we knew some people, Steven, like, they would do the mini thins, whatever. I don't know what they were, like, some kind of, like, weight loss thing.
Oh, it was like caffeine.
It was caffeine. Yeah, it was like caffeine.
Pills.
to be all like, my heart is beating so fast. It's like, that's probably not a good idea.
Picard to Enterprise, energize.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, these guys got caught after a chase. Now they're on $25,000 bail each. So don't steal Red Bull.
Get security.
They should have drank some of it. Maybe they would have got away.
Yeah, maybe it'll give them wings. They can fly away. All right, that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news. Let's do DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition!
DVDs, everybody!
DVDs! DVDs! Yeah! Nailed it! Woohoo!
Got a new song.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have?
Sadly, no Belle Biv DeVoe concerts.
We're on live.
Those DVDs.
One of those guys was really bizarre looking, too. I think it was DeVoe.
Yeah, they're...
Maybe it was Bell.
It was DeVoe.
Maybe Bell had Bell's palsy.
Oh, my God.
That's what he...
He had that one droopy cheek.
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, January 2nd, 2009. This, we're not having a very good week this week. Maybe there. I haven't looked further on into the releases, but we'll do these anyways. Starting off with, I think this is a direct-to-DVD release, Boogeyman 3.
Boogeyman 3.
I didn't know there were three of them.
Didn't catch the first two.
I mean, I remember the first one, but man, they're stretching that out.
And did they spell it Boogeyman or is it Bogeyman?
But no, it's Boogie. B-O-O-G-Y.
So they didn't even spell it right.
Hey, yo, scumbag.
Did they?
Boogeyman. And yeah, two O's. Boogeyman. Yeah, it would be if it was one O, it would be Boogeyman.
Yeah, but that's the way you spell Boogeyman, with one O.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very technical.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm glad you let me know, because I had no idea.
Yeah, let's just move on. Pretend like I didn't say
nothing. Douche my hand!
All right, Chris Rock, Kill the Messenger, special edition. I've never seen this one. I missed it when it was on HBO.
It's still playing on HBO.
I've seen
it. Is it? I'll have to check it out.
I think it played last night.
I watched it at my in-law's house.
Oh, that had to be comfortable.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'll never forget the one time I watched... Eddie Griffin did a movie that was like a comedy thing mixed with interviews from his family members. And I happened to be watching it while my mom was here. And he goes into like a 20-minute spiel about eating pussy.
Yeah.
And it was quite possibly one of the most uncomfortable situations.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that in the Chris Rock thing, too. Gets all into that.
All right, next DVD, one I've really been looking forward to seeing, City of Ember.
Yeah.
Based on a series of children's books.
It feels like that was just in the theaters, like, yesterday.
Yeah, it's got Martin Landau, Tim Robbins, Bill Murray, Toby Jones. And it's directed by Gil Keenan.
Gil Keenan.
Yeah. The guy that did Monster House.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty unstable when these computer guys, they decide to direct real actors.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got, computer boy.
See what your chops are.
Yeah. I think this got some pretty good reviews.
Yeah, I think... I remember Andy telling me he saw it with the kids.
I'm a little disappointed, though, that I don't see a Blu-ray release for it.
Boo!
Fox. So Fox loves to drag their ass on stuff, it seems.
You know what? Everything I always read about Fox is they're the worst-run studio right now.
They are, easily.
Waka waka!
just like they're running everything into the ground. But
somebody should buy them out already. But I think I'm going to wait for this one until I see a Blu-ray release, because I don't really do DVD anymore. I know that sounds awful elitist of me.
I know. I feel the same way, honestly. If I watch anything in standard def, it's because it's on that...
You've already previously bought it?
Well, it's the... No, I don't even watch that stuff. But the Xbox streaming thing. I don't... The only standard def, I watch my daughter's movies or whatever, but that's it.
Yeah.
But I watched that movie about the tightrope walker, Bill.
Yeah, Man on Wire.
Man on Wire.
Good stuff.
On Xbox Live documentary. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it is really good. It's easily... I hope it gets a nomination for Best Documentary.
I felt stupid because I knew nothing about it.
Well, that's what's great. I knew nothing about it, but that's why it was so great to watch. I learned about a whole thing that went on that I had no idea.
I think it was 76, and I was born in 71. So, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, it was shortly after the World Trade Center was finished, right?
Yeah. It was really cool. You check it out, Steven. Be there.
You know I catch
be there.
Documentaries.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
All right, next movie is it's a movie I've never heard of. It must have went straight to video. And it's kind of tragic because it stars two people, well, at least one person that used to be able to carry a theatrical release, Meg Ryan and William H. Macy, called The Deal, where William H. Macy's a... Stop it, Chocolate Mousse. William H. Macy plays a movie producer who's given up his career, and he meets an idealistic screenwriting nephew... who has a really great script, and he decides to give it one final shot. And the only thing keeping him out of it is a studio executive named Meg Ryan. Or is the played by Meg Ryan.
That's so gay.
Yeah, it sounds kind of... I don't know. Maybe that's why it didn't hit theaters. Maybe people went, this sucked.
Knock it off.
All right, moving on. Is that Hillary Duff?
Yes.
It's insulting. That's,
you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that so gay.
That's terrible. So gay.
All right, moving on. Next DVD is Henry Poole is Here. An excellent film directed by Mark Pellington.
Yeah, I watched this. I thought it was really good, except I thought the ending happened too fast. It almost felt like the third act was sped up or something.
It was very rushed. It seemed like it was a very low-budget film, and I think once the third act hit, they kind of needed to wrap it up quickly because they didn't have much more money to finish it, maybe.
There's like a really odd musical interlude in it also. It almost felt like the director had, or the writer, I don't know if the same guy wrote it, directed it, Bill, but kind of like while they're writing it, they're listening to this song, so they put it in the movie. And
the one that whenever he goes to the Los Angeles River?
Yeah.
And yeah.
He goes to the bridge. It felt kind of like a long musical interlude.
Well, you know what? I think that song was actually written for the movie.
Uh-huh.
It was like a contest.
Really?
To get the song, yeah, write a song for the movie, and those guys won, and they built the scene around the song.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably why it felt out of place.
It did. It felt out of place to me, where it was just kind of like, okay, this is odd. It almost felt like, why is this happening? You know?
Yeah, it was the music video was it was a MySpace thing.
Okay.
It was a contest where these people submitted songs and. The music video would then be directed by Mark Pellington, and it would get to go in the song would get to go into the movie.
Was it The Brood?
No. I don't think The Brood can really do music. Yeah! They try. next DVD is a children's film that kind of went into theaters and then disappeared called Igor. I think John Cusack is the main character's voice. But I'm interested in it because Eddie Izzard does one of the voices, and he will be forever one of my all-time favorite comedians.
Didn't the animation look all jacked up?
It is a little weird looking. It's definitely got its own style. It's CGI.
They release a lot of computer animated kid fluff during the year, and still nobody can catch up with Pixar, can they?
No, nobody can, because Pixar is like its own entity. They've been doing this for so long. They've got such perfection down with the way they do things.
I mean, you see stuff that's good, but it's still not on the same level. You know what I mean? Like
the DreamWorks stuff or the Disney stuff that isn't Pixar.
Right. And it's like I saw Despero. I thought that was good. Yeah, the DreamWorks stuff, the Over the Hedge. That stuff's
Over the Hedge, yeah.
It's not quite Pixar, though. You know what I mean? I'm sure they're proud of that, though.
I think the thing I'm most excited about right now, since they brought John Lasseter into Disney animation, he's really spearheading this resurgence of hand-drawn animation.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's something that I was really sad about whenever Disney abandoned, and I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
If you watch the documentary about Pixar, was it called Inside Pixar?
Yeah.
It talks about how much respect they have for those animators, because the animators of today grew up on 2D animation. They don't hate it. You know, they love it, you know. And
they love it, and they use a lot of it as reference material.
Right. And that's what's cool, is they respect all that stuff. It's not like, I mean, you do feel like it replaced it. It did replace it, but it doesn't mean they don't respect that art form and they don't love it, because they do.
I mean, that is so tough. I mean, because everything hand-drawn, just think of that.
And I still love hand-drawn animation, honestly. But I was going to say,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was this computer animated trailer I saw for a movie. It looks like a weird sci-fi post-apocalyptic movie called Nine. Have you seen that, Bill?
Oh my gosh, I have that that trailer on my desktop. I saved it. I go back and watch it every once in a while.
It looks awesome.
The originality of it is just so cool.
I don't even know what is going on, but it looks incredible.
Guess this director, there's actually a short film that he made of it. And then he's taken the short film and actually expanded onto it into a feature length.
Right.
And I watched the short film, and the short film is just absolutely amazing. And I cannot wait to see the theatrical version. And I was obsessed with the trailer because they use one of my all-time favorite bands, Coheed and Cambria, for the music in it. And it's so appropriate for it, too.
What would you say the plot is? It's like post-apocalyptic, right? Or something?
Yeah, I think it's this post-apocalyptic society, and this it's hard to explain. I would really have to look it up to try to explain it.
All you need to know is
like an idiot.
Awesome computer animation, post-apocalyptic setting.
Yeah.
Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say.
Good to know,
Jules.
Thank you, Jules.
Another movie that was in theaters and then out of theaters as fast as I've ever seen, and now on DVD and Blu-ray, Max Payne.
Wow.
The Mark Wahlberg film.
Your instincts aren't wrong. It's not funny.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of the Max Payne games. When I saw they were making a movie, I was kind of like, why?
So, okay, let me see this. Max Payne, Mark Wahlberg versus Tim Oliphant in Hitman. Which one do you see? Or a double feature?
I've never seen either of them, so
I've seen Hitman.
Hitman's been on HBO lately, and I'll like watch some of it.
See, that's in my bedroom I only have basic cable because I haven't gone through the trouble of routing the. I don't want to lose. I use cable internet in my room. So I just use the basic cable on my TV, and I need to run a second line so that I can have my DirecTV.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have it yet, so I don't watch any of the HBO stuff unless I'm out in the living room, and I don't get to see that stuff. I need to look and see when it's on so I can watch Hitman, because I've never seen it.
Damn it,
I've never even played the games.
It stinks.
The games just never appealed to me.
Yeah, I've never played it.
But I did play the Max Payne games.
It's watchable.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's just kind of throwaway watchable.
Yeah.
Like the Fast and the Furious movie, something like that. Popcorn.
It's popcorn. It's fluff.
The reason I say that is because recently I watched the trailer to the new Fast and the Furious. And it kind of fools you into thinking it might be a good movie. But I know better because I've seen all three movies. And
there's three of them?
Yeah. This is the fourth
one. I haven't seen Too Fast, Too Furious. So never bothered.
The first one had Vin Diesel, Paul Walker. Second one had only Paul Walker.
Okay.
And had Tyrese.
Well, it had Paul Walker and that Tyrese Gibson, right?
Yeah, who's an excellent actor. Then the third one had new guy in Japan or whatever.
Yeah.
That was Tokyo Drift. I don't think that counts as a...
Yeah, but it was called Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, so you got to
count. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was the drifting. So Vin Diesel at the very end of it.
Right. So basically, the movies are watchable, but it's like going to McDonald's for dinner. You know, it's a
I actually kind of enjoyed the Tokyo one. I mean, I wouldn't buy it on DVD or
honestly, I hate the computer animated racing shit. Don't you?
Yeah, that
the
gets
stretching,
old.
Oh shit, I'm going light speed when I hit nitrous. Just show us some
or
old
the,
school
or the
shit.
Camera going through the car, through the engine,
it's going
and
through
out
the exhaust.
Pipe.
Oh, there's you know, the freaking spark plugs and shit. Oh shit, we're in the engine. just show the car driving
spark
in real time.
Spark plugs and shit. Oh shit, we're in the engine.
The pistons are going. Oh shit, the car's going so fast. I got a laptop running my engine.
The catalytic converter.
I mean, seriously, I want to see some old school, you know, shot for real. No, you know. CGI, just awesome car chase type
no
of thing.
No bullet time.
Yeah! Look at that kitten purr, baby. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I'll definitely check out the new Fast and the Furious, even though I know it's not going to be great.
I thought the trailer was pretty good, except for the CGI garbage.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching it and everything, and then all of a sudden they have a rolling fuel tanker.
Yeah, that
CGI.
Was so bad.
Bad CGI. The only thing I'm hoping, Bill, much like Incredible
Everything
Hulk
else.
Trailers, they haven't quite finished the effects yet. But they got to get the trailer out there. But
no,
I would say
you know
this.
What? I don't care how good the effects is. A bouncing, rolling, flaming.
Oh, and Steven, they're like, you got to drive.
You got to drive underneath it.
And then it's like, whoosh, bullet time car. Barely miss it. Awesome. Awesome.
You know, it's sad that Paul Walker doesn't get better work because I really, really like him in Running Scared.
Yeah. I like Paul Walker. He's, you know, he's got the Keanu amount of charisma, I guess, in most of his roles. But I really like, we've talked about that before, Running Scared's a fun movie.
I think Running Scared is probably my favorite HD DVD. I actually imported it from Germany.
Oh, nice.
And it looks incredible on HD DVD. But HD DVD's no more. But anyways, Max Payne, DVD, Blu-ray,
standard
unrated,
definition.
Special edition.
Cool, Max Payne, check it out. Watch it with a double feature with The Happening to see all of Mark Wahlberg's great acting.
I'll probably throw it on my Netflix queue for the hell of it. Yeah, don't bother with The Happening, really. I mean, it's okay, but oof, it's not great.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, moving on. This one confuses me. You know those great things they show on HDNet, those over Alaska, over Arizona,
right.
Over California, where it's like the high-def aerial photography over certain places? They're releasing them on DVD, but not Blu-ray.
Why?
I ever watch high-def demo material on 480p DVD.
I don't get it either. It's like that the awesome, incredible Planet Earth thing Discovery did.
Yeah.
Watching in standard def. You know, whatever. I'm better than that.
Yeah, we're so... <That's> wrong. All right, next DVD, Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Whoa.
Hey.
Yes.
What is
I've
this
actually
exactly?
been interested
That's
in seeing this because
about.
I've heard so much talk about it.
This is with the guy. Steven.
Ogre from Ogre. Skinny Puppy.
Ogre from Skinny Puppy. Tell me, what is it exactly?
I'm sorry, say again?
I was going to say, what is this exactly?
It says, in the not-so-distant future, a worldwide epidemic of organ failures devastates the planet. Out of the tragedy, a savior emerges, Genico, a biotech company that offers organ transplants for a price. Those who miss their payments are scheduled for repossession and hunted by the repo man. And I guess they think about it.
Yikes.
But yeah, ogres in it and... Paris Hilton.
Nerds!
Yeah, Paris Hilton.
So it has ogre from Revenge of the Nerds in it. Nice!
Nerds!
I love that.
I still love the second one whenever they turn him into a nerd.
Yeah. I know the ogre is some narcissist, and he takes women's faces and pins them on his own.
Nice.
Freaky, dude.
There's Alexa Vega, Sarah Brightman, who's an actual opera singer, Paul Sorvino, Anthony Stewart Head, directed by Darren Lynn Boozman, who doesn't exactly have the best track record of films.
Oh, gross.
Okay.
You know, like the Saw movies.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm gonna check it out. I know Tyrant.
Oh,
I think it's Tyrant on the Hollywood Saloon forums is a big fan of this movie.
Okay.
Moving on again. Saw 5 unrated collector's edition.
Yes, the Quintology is complete.
What's funny, it's got three versions: full screen, unrated, widescreen, and unrated director's cut. What's the difference?
Oh my god. Oh my god. Ah.
Like, so the full screen version is R-rated and the unrated collector's edition has the director's cut?
I got a tired head, what?
I know. Why do they have to make shit so complicated? Just release the DVD. I still can't believe they go through the trouble of releasing full screen for idiots.
I was a real shit.
I just let you know that I don't see many full-screen TVs being made anymore.
I know. I wonder, like,
yeah,
everybody who has the full-screen DVDs, you know, you're screwed.
Look at the black bars on the side now, baby.
Yeah.
Now they have something to complain about.
Just hit the stretch button. That looked perfect. It's like, oh, God. Jesus. Oh. People never understand. You know, my cousin said that, like, at one point. She has an HDTV now, but a couple of years ago she said that she didn't like HD because she doesn't like looking at things stretched. And I was just like, oh, slap myself in the head. No. Yeah. Yeah, I hate that stretched HD. That's the way it's supposed to look, all right. Oh, God. Oh. And you realize when you're into stuff like this and you read, there's no way people really think that. But they do because they don't know. It's just like the whole digital transition thing. You think that it's people know that they, you know, if they have cable or they have DirecTV, that they don't need a converter box. But then someone will say, do I need one of those boxes? And it's like, oh, people really don't know. Damn it.
You know, it's because people are blissfully ignorant. They don't pay attention. You know, every one of those commercials says, if you have cable or satellite, you don't need to worry. But if you get TV from rabbit ears or antenna, people just don't listen. They don't care to listen. They don't pay attention.
Yeah.
It's enough to make you sick just thinking about it.
Oh, it really is.
So basically, anybody who watches TV on rabbit ears only, you will need a converter box. That's it. No one else. Right.
And if you still watch TV on rabbit ears, that's...
You got bigger problems than...
Yeah, unless you have an HD TV, and then you don't need to worry about it.
When my wife and I first got married in one-bedroom apartment, coat hanger, that's what I had in the friggin' TV. It had the worst reception possible.
Yeah, I don't know how that myth got started, but I've been there, and coat hangers don't do shit.
You gotta put foil on the coat hanger, man.
But
we lived in an all-bills-paid one-bedroom apartment. They didn't have cable jacks. There was no cable run to the building. So I remember
the building was built in, what, 1940? So.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait, they got this thing called satellite. All I gotta do is put a dish. And I'll never forget the time I got permission. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'll never forget the
the first apartment I had that they allowed me to put up a dish. I just thought that was the greatest thing ever, because the one apartment I had before that, they're like, no, you can't put anything on our property.
Now, Bill, we have somebody on the phone. Hello, are you there? Is anybody there?
Is it possible to have a temporary red ring of death?
Uh-oh.
Temporary?
Temporary.
Oh, shit, Andy.
It's been heard of, yes.
Momentarily.
Sure, yeah.
Did you have a power surge in the house?
Just check your plug on the back of your thing. Make sure it's settled in there good.
We came home from the Chinese restaurant, okay? And I sit down, I turn the bad boy on, and my screen gets all these lines through it, and then the red ring pops up, and I'm ready for Harry Carey. I'm ready to commit suicide.
He's talking about his Xbox 360.
Right.
Yeah.
I turn it off, and it comes back on again, and I'm like, my life's over. And then I let it sit for a while. You know, I crank that fan and let that fan run for a while.
Yeah.
Turn it back on, and I've been jamming for, you know, another 45 minutes to an hour now, and everything's okay.
Yeah, sometimes if the plug is unsettled.
Oh, you mean it's working now?
Yeah, it's working. It's like I had it, and my blood ran cold.
You know,
and then, but now it's working.
There's
but
been
you know
at
what?
Least twice.
I have had that with my first one that I actually had to get repaired.
Right.
It's entirely possible that it'll go bad again at some point.
Maybe there's a power surge or something, Andy.
Well, I've got it on a surge protector.
Do you have it like on a monster surge protector?
I've got
protector?
It on a surge protector. I've got the external fan with the powered external fan. You know, I'm doing the do. And, Bill Gates wants to jack me. Our house is full of demons.
Andy,
electronic demons.
There's been at least twice that my Xbox, I've gone to turn it on, and it wouldn't turn on. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'll look in the back, and the brick has been jarred loose. And I have no idea how.
That's another thing. Check the brick.
Heat gets
maybe
expands.
Maybe that's it. It was weird. It didn't take very long to come back to life. I had had that sucker on all day.
Now, Andy, even if you have a surge protector, it'll still sometimes mess with it. You have to have, like, the, what do they call
like
that?
The $80 surge protector.
Well, you have the kind that has the, God, I can't think of the
noise
term.
Noise filter. Type
yeah. Filters out the.
I wouldn't worry about the surge protector
the
as much
power.
As keeping the power brick in a well-ventilated area, make sure the plug is settled well into it, and make sure the plug in the back of the unit is settled into it.
I started having problems after I started playing that Hulk game. I'm starting to wonder.
Well, the game isn't going to cause it to go bad.
It's a pretty bad game, though, Bill.
It is a bad game, but it's not gonna.
I like it. It's good, but you know, it's like ever since then I've been having these freaking freezes.
You have a ghost in the machine.
Exactly.
Yeah, call Karen Allen.
So, anyways, I tried to call earlier, and you guys weren't picking up. I figure since I'm a regular guy now and not a podcast master anymore, that I've been kicked out. I've been booted to the bad cheap seats, and I've heard rumors that you guys are like. Negotiating with one John Jansen to do colorful commentary on your show. So
yes, he's calling in later. But
yeah,
he's trying to call right now, but you called in.
We were trying to keep that a secret, but he is going to be here next week.
We're going to talk all about Kubrick. We're finally going to give everyone the master class without Andy, though. No, but seriously, Andy, I told Steven that every time I'd turn my head, the little box would be going back down. It's like, shit, somebody's calling.
I was pointing at it, and he'd turn and look. And, it was.
And then, you know, you tried to call on a different number, and I tried to answer it, and it said I could not. It's not a valid number. And I remember, I was like, that's Andy. He's trying to call from his home phone because it won't pick up on that.
Well, it's good you didn't get me at that time because – you know, it was like that's when I was all suicidal and whatnot. So
when you first called, you didn't say, You didn't say, hey, guys, I got the Red Ring of Death, but it's working fine. You basically said, is it bad if you get the Red Ring of Death for a while or whatever? So you didn't say that it was now working.
Well, no, see, that's the deal. If I would have called you before, I would say, I've got the Red Ring of Death.
It's honestly too soon for that thing to break down unless you have a towel or something
since,
blocking the exhaust area.
I've had it since late April of 08.
Right. But technically, you do play it a lot, so maybe it is breaking.
Hey, you know what? It happens. And if it does end up happening, you call Microsoft, you send it to them, they get it back to you within two weeks. You wouldn't have any problem. They just ask for your Xbox, no hard drive, and you send it to them. They send you everything. They send you the box to send it in and all that.
Hey, Andy, can I ask you something? Because your computer's not working right now, right?
Let me tell you something. Remember when I was joking? I was kind of like half not joking about having like electronic demons in my house. We've had my wife's computer totally died and had to be brought back to factory spec. My personal computer, as you guys have noticed, I haven't talked to you guys during the week on MSN because my computer, I just wouldn't turn on one day. And so my brother's got a demon in his house now. So, yeah, and then, you know.
So what's going on with your computer now?
He got the gremlins.
He's still ascertaining. Yeah, somebody got fed after midnight, you know.
I got to ask you something, Andy.
Mm.
Do you remember Belle Biv DeVoe's Poison song?
Poison.
Stop making that sound.
That was creepy.
Poison.
Yeah, but get this. Steven has never heard the song before.
Are you serious?
I've never heard it before last week.
That's because he's all into that.
He heard it for the first time last week, he says.
He's all into that.
Hey, better late than never, baby. But, he's Andy, you need to get
in the chunk.
Andy, there's a new hack for the Xbox, Andy, where you can hook up the old Nintendo Power Glove to it. You got to try that out.
Ooh, well, I never had that. That was your guys' time.
It's so bad.
That was on HBO this week. We can't help it.
The Wizard, yeah. I was watching it. I was like, what a piece of shit movie this is. I can't turn it off.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Awesome.
And I forgot that Christian Slater was in it.
Oh, yeah. He's the brother. Christian Slater.
I would just tread lightly with the 360, though, Andy. It may, again, check your power brick. Check the back of the unit. And it could die, for all we know. You have been using it a lot.
You know, I bought extra time on it because, you know, it is my brother now. It is another child of mine. So.
What a dick.
So when are you going to be getting your computer back?
Oh, I have no idea.
Wow, that blows.
My brother's trying to make it so I don't have to buy any major big parts. So, you know, I don't know. I'm using my wife's computer to watch movies and whatnot, so.
Huh? Can't you just watch them on a DVD player?
No, he means, like, Oscar screeners.
BitTorrent.
Oh, I got you. That's bad, Andy. You're going to go to jail.
Yeah, I know. Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, shame. How dare you?
All right, Andy. Well, we need to finish the show.
I get a lot of that on email these days.
Yeah. That's nothing new.
I'm a priest Monty at my local tabernacle.
Shame, shame, shame.
By the way, Andy, when you go on your wife's computer, look up Tarvuism with a V.
Yeah, go to Tarvu, tarvu.com.
It's a new religion. We're all joining it.
It's really easy.
Is there some sort of blood sacrifice involved?
It's real easy.
No, but you do get to learn to talk to an octopus.
Nice.
And it's real easy to join.
Yeah, it's real easy to join.
Do they have one of those mail-in certificates where we become priests?
Sure.
I think you can actually become a, what is it, a priest?
You could become this.
I'm a priest Monty at my local tabernacle.
Yeah, you can become a priest Monty at your local tabernacle.
A tabernacle. Hey, grab my tabernacle.
All right, well, we got to finish the DVDs, Andy. So
we're done with the DVDs. Those DVDs are over.
All right. Well.
Oh, and you know what? As far as your piss poor review for Henry Poole, shame on you, gentlemen.
We gave it a good review. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Jason just said he didn't like the song.
The segment in the middle, I don't know if that was a song, Bill, that you're talking about. I don't know if that was the content. You might be right. I just don't know.
I think it was.
But you got to remember, Mark Pellington is, you know, one of the big directors, music video directors from the 90s. I mean, he did, you know, Pearl Jam's Jeremy video, and a lot of videos that are pretty... You know, it's considered classics now, and I mean, he brought that style into it. So, I'll talk more about it on some other show someday. Whenever I'm a podcast master.
Basically, what I was saying is, I was all into the movie, and then this rock video happens in the middle of the movie. I was like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole movie is kind of that way.
Someone should have told the director, "You're not doing videos anymore. You're making a movie now. So do a movie." You don't need
it. I love it for that because it doesn't have any rules. It kind of just says, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
That's fine, but don't pull
the ride, and so
right.
You know,
that's fine, but I'm saying don't pull me out of the movie while you do it. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's cool.
If it would have been Belle Biv DeVoe, I would have been cool with it.
I'm the opposite of that. I love being pulled out of the movie. If it's
that makes no sense. You want to be pulled out of the movie?
It depends on the kind of movie. You know,
I want a movie to shit on my head.
What?
Call it a hat.
Stab me across the face. Yeah. No, well, I mean, I went for it because I'm into his style. I've liked him as a director for a really long time.
It was a good movie.
Whereas you didn't like it, I was like...
I did like it!
He didn't say he didn't like it.
He didn't like that part.
Okay,
it's a good movie.
It didn't work for you, right? Let's just say that.
That moment in the film didn't work. And I thought the third act was rushed.
I hated the movie. But, hey, I mean, it's just opinion. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not right. You're not wrong.
It's okay, Andy. Don't get angry.
All right, Andy.
You better agree with me. We're not
anymore.
All right, guys. Sorry, I'm flexible now.
All right, Andy. Well, have a good one.
All right, later, guys.
Later.
That movie sucked. All right, Bill. Is that the DVDs?
That's DVDs.
Thanks for doing the DVDs. All right. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me do the DVDs.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal and.
All right, everybody, that was episode 149 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. We enjoy doing it. It's great, isn't it, guys? So fulfilling on a Friday.
Awesome.
Keeps us away from the alcohol, if you know what I'm saying. Woo! Happy hour after the show, Steven.
We don't drink like we used to.
Nope, not at all. But so we do podcasting instead. It's much more healthier. It's better on the waistline.
Yeah, we don't drink the big 2-liter bottles of soda.
Better for the liver.
No, yeah. we drank big 2-liter bottles of soda and played video games, not alcohol.
It was really sad. But if you would like to leave a voicemail.
That's what I'm going to do after the show.
Call 1-206-202-3491. Also, send an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also,
visit the forums.
Yeah, visit the forum. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You'll find a link to the Mulberry Forum. You'll also find a link to Mulberry Old School if you want to listen to all of our old shows. And thanks for listening. It's awesome. Totally cool. We love you. And next week, you know, I said we were going to talk about Battlestar Galactica, Lost, Fringe, and all that. And stuff
I'm
like
that. I'm excited
about
Fringe returning.
Me too. And Lost, yeah. I need to watch that finale again, and preferably without the stupid scrolling shit at the bottom.
Oh,
sorry,
my God.
I
saw that last
that.
Week.
I was like, oh, Lost is on, and I turned it on. I was like, I don't want to watch it with the pop-up video crap.
Yeah, it's so funny. They call it Enhanced Lost. And the scene I saw, it was Hurley getting off the plane. And he was like, these are Hurley's parents. And so I'm like, no shit.
Hey, thanks for the news flash.
here are their names.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's real helpful for someone who's had head trauma since the finale and you forgot everything, I guess. It's really stupid. But
yeah, so dumb.
But also, you know what? Did we thank Frayed Knot enough for his best of show? I don't think we did. I want to thank him again.
He was great. He gave us an extra week off.
His Nim mashup, it was awesome. And I can't wait till he does another one, like by episode 200. Because next week is episode 150, Steven. So in no time, we'll be at episode 200.
200?
50 more episodes.
Wow. Another year.
Is that we get syndicated at 200 yet?
Yeah, we never did get syndicated, unfortunately.
150 really kind of is our three-year reunion, or three-year anniversary, isn't it?
Well,
we
passed it, but... Yeah, I need to go back and count how many we average every year and see if it's the same every year we've been doing it. So I'd know, like, what a year's worth of shows are.
You know, a year's worth of shows?
Like, maybe it's, like, 36 episodes.
Yeah, plus or minus one or two.
Yeah, because we take a couple weeks off here and there, you know. But that's the show, and thanks for listening, everybody. And what else? Do we have anything to add, Bill?
No, you said visit the forums, you said send feedback,
yeah.
Poison?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, everybody, see you next week. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
A-plus for effort.
And thank you.
A-plus.
Your real breath.
Now this is podcasting.
Are we on now?